Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, happy Sunday. This is Seeds of Change, and I'm your host, Danielle St. John. Today, I mean, there's a couple things that I want to kind of go over. I guess the election a little bit. We had a guest who was an election poll worker in Illinois, but she has the flu, so we're going to have to reschedule her. I want to talk about how there was a study that came out proving that myocarditis is not something that is from COVID as much as it is from the vaccine. So that's good news. At least we're getting a little bit of light shined on that subject. And then, of course, I guess a little bit about the election. Not much new since 2006, still using the same tactics, possibly before then. But with that, Elizabeth is with us, so let's bring her on in.
Well, happy Sunday to everyone. How are
you? Happy Sunday to you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Yes, we must keep our spirits up because it's unbelievable. Like, if you don't have little gremlins in your house, you get, big tyrants running around everywhere, and you just have to try to overcome the minor irritations and the big irritations. Propaganda,
yeah.
Censorship, electrical outages.
Absolutely.
I almost had your mom. I know, but it's like a small apocalypse here. And I'm like, it's not as bad as Carla's house yet, almost. We're almost even. And then we go, seriously, my friend actually, this is a little, how when you have knowledge of how things work and then things actually happen, you're like, oh my God. My friend, a half an hour from here, like we're both like, we are in those counties that swing the election to their side. The very small little dots up by Lake Michigan. And she's like, oh, my God, there's military helicopters, like, swept down over her house, went out, hit her trees. There's, like, a swarm of them. And she's like, hold the windows so they wouldn't break. And I went in, and I was like, did you forget your lucky hat? Referring to the Goodfellas and the whole thing. And I was like, And then everybody else that lived there, they were like, oh, my God, it was horrible. Like, things fell off their walls and their trees, birds flew out of the trees. And they're like, what's going on? And I'm like, it could be the end of the world. They just will tell us what's going on. But when the military is swooping down over a small suburb outside of Chicago, you've got election fraud, you've got, your rabbit holes of, the white hats are coming, the military's taking over because of fraudulent elections, and, that little thing going on in Europe they don't like to talk about where, half of the world is siding with Putin over this skirmish that they want to have nuclear wars over, and everyone's leaving NATO, and they don't, it's not – and the consequence, because we have to be focused upon – who's going to take the Senate? I just turned the damn news on, and I was like, it's like watching a spell. I'm not going to be under your spells. Bullshit. But anyways, as soon as that post, and that was this afternoon, about like 1, 2 o'clock, the military, and then my power went out. I'm like, what the fuck? Oh, my God. I thought, oh, wait, is it the cable? The cable finally got mad at me. Nope, the entire house is black. I'm like, oh, God. And then it was,
oh, my God.
Down, and then I'm like, But there's no like communications, just the lights, the oven, the air conditioner, the cable, the everything, even the music, and like, wow, I can't, I'm completely in a communication blackout, and there's a military operation going on, and of course, there could be so many factors, and it's like, wow, but here's how they control this. As soon as my TV went on in the living room, I was happy.
Yeah, right.
So it's kind of,
exactly.
It could be China has, invaded us. Who knows what the fuck could have happened, but there's so many things that could happen.
Right.
I don't know. So that was kind of strange little thing. And then it was like the house had gremlins after this. And I'm like, but I could live. I can live without TV. I really should because I get so mad at it. I'm like, I refuse to let that shit in my head. Al Sharpton and whoever the fuck it was, you know, because I'm like, I need to know something what's going on in the world before I come on the show to talk, other than just my opinions. And
well,
it is. It's like this.
Yeah, but if it makes you sick, if it's bad for your health, don't do it.
Yeah, and it seems to be because they have a, you know, there's no closure to this bad relationship with the government. We're still, you know, in this battle of who's going to get the kids. There's a 2-point lead to who's going to get the house. And it's like, we see that this is just corruptly been pulled. The rug's been pulled out from under our feet. But, still need you to be upset about this. You have to be upset about it. And that's what it seems to be with me. My poll worker, we had a very nice conversation. She has a different view. She's like, you have to get involved. We can't change it unless we get involved and change it from within.
Right.
And I'm just like, I'm done. I'm done with it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not going to waste
that. A lot of people have that opinion. And I don't think we have enough time for that. It's like that. Well, there we all were in one place, a generation lost in space with no time to start again. That's exactly what's going on. We don't have time.
No time left for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, and I know mom, what's that?
I was going to say, what happened to the world with people that listen to such good music like that? It's that had they had such vision, we went from that to this pile of shit. Of dystopian, we will tell you what to think. You cannot think anything other than what we say. From the free vision of Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Woodstock. It baffles me that we went
right
back to the Stone Ages so fast.
Yeah, I think we were already there. But okay, with that, now mom's with us. She's obviously got a different opinion, so I'm going to let her in.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
Happy Sunday, Carla.
I have a difference of opinion. My difference of opinion is, what the hell? What the hell have we been doing? Right? What is happening? So if we had discussed all this on November 9th, I would have said, you know what? It's all right. We've got a shot. Next thing you know, they're attacking Donald Trump for the trickle, the red trickle. And the next thing you know, actually, and gratifyingly, the Republicans stood up and said, no, that's not what happened. Believe it or not, the media went all in, okay? Republicans to come back and say, yeah, it was all Trump's fault. We need to stop Trump. We need to dump Trump and all this other business. And then the next couple of days, a bunch of very prominent Republicans said, no, this is Mitch McConnell's fault. You guys know who Mitch McConnell is? Anybody know who Mitch McConnell? They call him the turtle. They call him cocaine Mitch. Right? So it's Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, and Ronna McDaniel. So those are the leaders of what we would view as the sort of national mainstream, quote-unquote, Republican Party. Anyway, having said all that, Donald Trump picked 216 candidates, and of those 216 candidates, 193 of them, hold on, I think it was 193. Let me just check that number. Had the last count just a moment ago because another one flipped just about an hour ago. So I'll show you. What is the number? Show me the number. Where is it? I'm feeling a little out of sorts this afternoon, shall we say. Things have been kind of rough around my house, around my neighborhood, around just in general. So I'm a little discombobulated. I was going to be ready for the 4 o'clock good news hour, but my opinion is that there was cheating in the 2022 election. There, that's, shall we say, yeah, there was cheating in the 2022 election. So there was a Senate candidate in Nevada, and he needed a specific amount of votes, and he said this is the amount of votes from when they continue to count. The next day, they flipped it almost exactly that number to the other candidate. And during that time, the cameras went down in the counting room for 9 hours.
Oh, my God.
With it, and then the very next thing we know is that Adam Laxalt is no longer winning his election. He was up like 9,000 votes. And the next thing you know, the cameras go down for 9 hours, and he's down by 800 votes. She beat him. Still don't know what
That's
happened.
Did he concede?
He hasn't conceded yet.
Good.
Okay. Blake Masters was down the entire time, but Arizona has been a freaking disaster. Terry Blake still is saying that she's going to win the governorship. We flipped a Lombardo is going to be the governor of Nevada, which is a red flip. So there was a lot, there's a lot going on, but yes, again, there was fraud in the election. It has to do with these mail-in ballots. Having said that, the country can say, we need to have election day and only election day and all votes on the same day and all this other business. There's California, we vote for a month and we count for another month after. Okay, so we can say we shouldn't do this. Well, guess what? In blue strongholds, that's what's going to happen. So what do we do? What's the answer? The answer is going out and collecting ballots like everybody else.
Is what?
And collecting ballots. So that's what they're doing. They're going out and they're collecting ballots for a month before and counting them for a month after. Okay? So it sounds like that's what we need to do ourselves. My side. I don't know. I mean, we're on different sides of this equation, or at least I think so. I don't know. There's a lot of progressives.
Well, I think we're on the same page, actually, with just variations of opinion. You know, here's what happened in Illinois. I have a friend that poll watcher.
Hold it a second, Elizabeth. On election night, graphic, Pritzker. Okay, so zero counties reporting. They had him 0-0, and they already had him winning. They already checked him as a win in your state. Talk about cheating.
It was unbelievable.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Unbelievable. No, it was. So I know someone who worked the polls, and she hadn't even gotten home and turned on the TV, and he's given his election speech.
I know.
I won. Right. So I'm watching it. She's still there, and I'm watching it. It's 7 o'clock. The polls close. And on Facebook, and there was a Fox News report on a hack. There was a hack in Champaign, one of our counties.
Yeah.
And then nothing was done. And then all of a sudden it just went, boom, he won. And they called it at 7:30. They called it. And there was only a percentage of the votes even counted still. It was like, you know what, if you're going to cheat, why don't you pull back a little bit? Give the illusion that we've counted the votes. The votes weren't even counted.
Right.
Yet.
That's the Newsom move where they counted, a whole, millions of votes in 27 minutes.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
And he won.
And it was horrible. It was actually absolutely horrible. And we have our local news station, which is exactly like CNN now. They just went all in. They threw the election. They called it. It was like, but wait, can we count the votes first? Oh, no. And then it finally came out to be like a
10-point. No, you're an election denier if you want votes counted.
I know. It was just.
So here we go again with that. Blatant. The guys in Maricopa, the county recorder started a super PAC to make sure that only non-MAGA candidates get elected in Maricopa County. This is it's outrageous. It's outrageous.
Well, here's the interesting way of the discouraging voting was that they changed the map. So where I voted, they moved me from my little VFW here, and I wasn't going to vote. I was just like, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to participate with this evilness. And then it's right there. I'm driving right past. I'll go, okay, fine. I'll come in. Well, they wouldn't let me because I had to go down to the library. The library is just like Woodfield Mall, which is the largest mall in America. And I was like, oh, fuck, I don't want to go down there.
Who wants
and
to go there, right?
I know, right? So I'm like, okay, but I'm going to do this because I thought you have to, because if you don't, then, you know, you've just thrown the towel in before. So I'm walking out of the poll place, and in comes, like, they look like the FBI. They had the badges and everything, and I said, hey, you look fierce. So let me ask you. I can't vote here, but they'll let me vote down the street. Why can't I not vote here? Well, you have to vote in your precinct. I said, well, what about the mail-in ballots? Because you can also drop your mail-in ballot into
anywhere.
I go, could I do that? I don't understand the consistency. They said, well, that's the beauty of mail-in ballots. So I was like, oh, well, good luck with that. And I left. I was all pissed off, and I drove down to the post office. But the thing, I had my little you sign in. They gave me that so I didn't have to wait in that other line. And I just stood in line, and one of the guys I work with, he went in, and they gave him the same runaround. He had to go across town, and he couldn't vote there. So I'm like, okay, they're discouraging, because if you're like me, I'm just like, fuck it, I'm not going to do it. And then I found out from my poll watcher that if there's any discrepancy, like if I should have stood in line and got another thing from them, because they could just throw mine out. And I'm like, oh, what the fuck? So it's just, it is set up to discourage. And the bottom line of the conversation I had with my friend was that the entire state of Illinois is red, except for three blue dots. And that gave Pritzker the win. And I'm like, how many people are in the state? Is this really, really real? And I said, are there that many just, you know, there are more Democrats walking around than we think. And it's almost like we are overrun with people that enjoy this. They want everything for free. They want, they love their perpetual slavery and all the goodies they get with it.
Gas isn't free. Food's not free. You know, like what? If they love this stuff so much, I don't understand free stuff so much. Why would they vote now? Everything is more expensive.
It's just like, are they not living in our reality? Are they not upset over what we're seeing? And they're just like,
we would like more of this,
please.
In Pennsylvania, they elected a dead man.
I know.
And in Nevada, I think. No, in San Diego. So it was in Pennsylvania and I think it was a sheriff, but I could be wrong, but there was an elected ballot candidate in Chula Vista in San Diego County that won, a dead man, because he was a Democrat.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that begs the question: Did they really win? Okay. So they elected a dead person. The man died on October 8th. We have another. Danielle believes a potential another one. Okay. So this comes down to ballot harvesting. Okay. Ballot harvesting means that they have these drop boxes. They have, you can go, to, you know, to, you know, five of your neighbors and say, hey, you'd like me to turn that in for you? And they have guaranteed everybody gets a mail-in ballot in California, I think in Illinois, I think in Pennsylvania. They mail them out mm-hmm. whether you want them or not. It used to be you had to request a mail-in ballot because of COVID. And a lot of those laws that happened, legislative actions, illegal legislative actions that everybody got a ballot, okay, it opened up the system. Now, but having said that, do you remember what happened when Georgia said, yeah, we're not going to do that, and they tightened the controls back to pre-COVID rules, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what happened? Pop quiz.
Hold on. I know this one. Jim Crow 2.0.
There you go. There you go. Mm-hmm. The entire media complex, Democrat complex, everybody and their mom was shrieking and howling and voter suppression. The Major League Baseball pulled the All-Star game out of Atlanta to punish them for going back to just good old regular voting, okay? And everybody went crazy. Okay. I'm not suggesting that I like it. I think it's rife with ripe for fraud. It is the reality we're living in. Okay. So since it's the reality that we're living in, we have to go out and act like them. Now, do I think we should cheat? No. But certainly, I'll go to my five neighbors and pick up their ballots, right, just to make sure everybody votes, right? I don't know. I don't know what the answer
is.
But just, you know, my principle, you know, everybody vote on election day. It didn't work.
And
right.
I would like to play a quick clip from Tucker about the Maricopa race, or about the Arizona governor race, if you guys don't mind.
Because
I remember, this is really interesting, because I remember standing in an overflow room at a Bernie Sanders rally in San Diego in 2016 when the Arizona primary happened. And they tried that same, you know, shenanigan that California and Illinois does, where they just call it within minutes. It's just done. Like,
right.
It's not Bernie, it's the other. You know, it was Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew it within, you know, quote unquote, knew it within minutes. And I remember watching all of these, this hearing of people who were disenfranchised voters, polling machines not working, lines wrapped around the building. People were still in line waiting to vote, and the establishment had already declared Hillary the winner, right? So here we are years later, and we're doing the exact same thing. But now they're saying we can't count them that fast. It's just, you know, there's no way, really. We're going to need a week or whatever to count all of these ballots just in one county. We're not really talking about other counties, although they, you know, they're still kind of dragging their feet in other areas too. But Maricopa, of course, is the biggest offender. And wouldn't you know that Katie Hobbs, being the Secretary of State, this is going on under her watch, and she's on the fuses to recuse herself. Those are the dirty tactics that ethical people, you know, if you're talking about how you know, if we're going to fight, ethical people would say, no, if I'm the Secretary of State, I should, you know, I have to recuse myself because of even the appearance of fairness. But Democrats are not,
yeah.
They're like, nope, not at all. Nope, not doing it. So
ruthless.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
But so
they're
Tucker
ruthless.
Goes into this a little bit, and so I'd like to play a clip and get your thoughts. Are you guys up for that?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. A lot more than half of the entire population of the entire state of Arizona lives in Maricopa County. The cities of Mesa, Tempe, Scottsdale, and largest of all, Phoenix, are all within the county's borders. If you want to win statewide in Arizona, you have to win Maricopa County. Unfortunately, as of tonight, we still don't know who has won Maricopa County, either in the U.S. Senate race there or in the governor's race in Arizona, because officials are not even close to finishing the count. 48 hours after the voting stopped, there are still 633,000 ballots still uncounted in Arizona. More than 400,000 of those are in Maricopa County. You're seeing it on your screen right now. When will we know the results? Last night, election officials claimed they'd have a new tally for us by 8 p.m. Eastern, the beginning of our show. But the deadline came and went. By the end of the night, they had finished counting fewer than 70,000 more votes. Then they said they'd have final totals by Friday, tomorrow. But no. Today, the county officials said they don't expect to announce the results of the elections until next week at the earliest.
When do you anticipate the votes will be counted in total, those 400,000 plus votes?
Well, we have we will be going into next week. There's some onesie-twosies, again, pursuant to Arizona law. But I think that we'll see the lion's share here wrap up by early next week.
Early next week, can you give me a day? Are we talking Monday? Or are we?
Maybe. As long as you won't hold me to it.
Can you tell us, Mr. Election Official, when we might learn who won the election? Maybe, as long as you don't hold me to it. That was the chairman of the Maricopa County Supervisors. Notice what you did not hear in that exchange. You did not hear an apology. The guy in charge of election results never said sorry for not providing those results. It's hard to understand this. It's not a resource problem, certainly. The budget of Maricopa County is about $4.5 billion a year. For perspective, the entire Hoover Dam cost $890 million to build, and yes, that is in adjusted dollars. So for the price of five Hoover dams, Maricopa County can't even count the ballots in a single statewide election in a country that claims to care about democracy. They can't even manage to let people vote on Election Day. On Election Day, according to the county, 70 of 223 polling places suffered major problems with voting machines, machines the county paid millions for just recently. And their failure disenfranchised mostly Republican voters who wanted to cast their ballots in person. One poll worker reported that 25% of ballots were being rejected. Now, you would call that third world, but actually it's beneath third world. Most third world countries have serious elections. They require voter ID. They don't wait days for election results in Ghana, in Venezuela, whatever you think of it. They tally their ballots within hours. But suddenly we can't manage to do that? Clark County, Nevada, the home of Las Vegas, says there are still tens of thousands of ballots left to count. Therefore, we're not going to know what happened in the election until Monday, we hope. We're going to talk to Adam Laxalt about that in a minute. He's running for Senate there. Officials in Clark County are clearly overwhelmed. They're too busy to finish the one job they are paid to do. And yet, strangely, they still have time to attack Donald Trump on social media, which they've been doing all day. First things first. But it's not just Nevada and Arizona. Key House races all along the west coast of the country, in California, Oregon, and Washington State, are still unsettled tonight. They're saying they haven't counted the votes. Really? What is this? Is this fraud? We're not sure. And on some level, it doesn't matter what it is. What we know is that the mechanics of our elections are not working, almost exclusively in states and cities run by Democrats. Are they cheating? Are they disorganized? Again, not relevant. The system is obviously out of control. It's flaky. And systems like that cannot be, by definition, reliable. Would you let a Maricopa County elections official fly your aircraft? Probably not. That's a disaster. Democracy is a faith-based system. You have to believe in it in order for it to work. But who could believe in this? So our news media, in case you haven't noticed, has spent the last several years, quote, defending democracy, insert trademark here. So you'd think that democracy defenders would care about the collapse of democracy, but just the opposite. They're telling you it's all completely normal. It's always been this way. If you disagree, you'll be censored on social media, as we found out today. Twitter just slapped a warning label on videos from this show because we reported verifiable facts from election officials about election screw-ups. So it's taking weeks to count the ballots in your democracy, but you're not allowed to notice it. What is this about? Again, we're not sure, and at this stage, there's really no way to know what it's about, so we're not making allegations, but we thought we'd
ask, because it'd be interesting to ask, the most obvious question of all and see if we could find the answer. And the question is, who's benefiting from this? And how do you know? Well, you look backwards. So in cases where there was chaos and delays in vote counting over the past several election cycles, what percentage of the ultimate winners turned out to be Democrats? Now, in a fair system, you would think the proportion would land somewhere around 50%, a coin toss. But we checked. Oh, and that's not the case. In 13 recent races we looked at where election delays were well publicized, 10 of them ultimately went to the Democrat. 10 out of 13, 77%. That's not a coin toss. That's a very high average. Take, for example, the 2018 election in Orange County, California. Republican congressional candidates in three of the four Republican-held districts in Orange County had huge leads on Election Day. But in the weeks following the election, those leads disappeared. They evaporated. In the end, Democrats flipped each of those seats in Orange County, which not that long ago was a very conservative area, and some places still is. So how did that happen? Well, the San Francisco Chronicle reported that 250,000 vote-by-mail drop-off ballots came in. Many of those ballots were brought into polling stations by paid ballot harvesters. The Orange County Register put it this way, quote, "People were carrying in stacks of 100 and 200 of them. We had multiple people calling to ask if these people were allowed to do this." But of course they were allowed. That was the point. These sudden reversals didn't just happen in Orange County, California. In the state's 21st congressional district, the Associated Press declared Republican David Velotto the winner because of his lead on election night. And it takes a lot. The AP does not call races for Republicans unless they're pretty sure. But in this case, they had to retract the call nearly 3 weeks later after his opponent took the lead, the Democrat, because new ballots continued to be counted. That same year, again in Nevada, one local paper documented the lengthy problems in vote counting on election night, and of course the inevitable result, which you can guess by this point. And we're quoting, "After a long evening of tortuous delay following a historic midterm election turnout, the results were finally in and the blue wave promised by Nevada Democrats became a definitive reality." It was the same story that year in places like Detroit and, again, Arizona. It took days for all the votes to be counted in the state of Arizona, and ultimately, you will not be shocked to learn, Republican Martha McSally narrowly lost her race for the Senate. So here you have lengthy delays in vote counting followed by good news for Democrats. It's happened all over the country. In 2020, it took officials 6 weeks to declare a winner in the Democratic Party's congressional primary for two districts in the state of New York. And in the end, because these were primaries, it was an intra-Democratic Party contest, the Democratic Party establishment, the most powerful part of the Democratic Party, won. Longtime Congresswoman Carol Maloney fended off an insurgent progressive successfully after long delays, and then Richie Torres defeated his challenger, who was a conservative Democrat. Weird how that works. Several years earlier, the same thing happened to Republicans in Sacramento. On election night in 2014 in the suburbs of the city, it looked like a Republican challenger called Doug Ose was about to unseat an incumbent Democratic congressman, Ami Bera. The Republican was up more than 3,000 votes. But then, 2 weeks later, more votes came in, and guess what? The Democrat was declared the winner by 700 votes. And he's been in Congress ever since. In all the recent cases that we looked at, only the state of Florida had a long voting count delay that led to a Republican winning, and it was in just one county. That was in the 2018 Florida gubernatorial election, when incompetent Democrats in Broward County broke the law and failed to report vote totals 4 days. Ultimately, as you know, Ron DeSantis won. On Tuesday, thanks to efforts to improve vote counting in the state of Florida, Florida tabulated results much more quickly. So Florida is far bigger than Arizona or Nevada, but by contrast had its election results, as you know, in a single day. And by the way, Florida enforces voter ID law strictly, so it's pretty hard to argue about who actually won. So no matter what you think of Ron DeSantis or his policies, you may hate him and them, you still, if you're an honest person, must acknowledge that that is a win for democracy. The system worked. The votes were counted. They were reported promptly. Democracy won in Florida, even if the outcome is not to your preference. But no one in the media seemed impressed by this. Here, in fact, is a CNN contributor arguing that by trying to prevent voter fraud, Ron DeSantis actually, quote, gamed the system.
Yesterday, he won by 20 percentage points. Why?
because he gamed the system, because he turned Florida into an unlevel playing field. They changed election laws, making it harder to vote by mail. They paraded a bunch of people, black people, that they arrested for voting fraud, and paraded them in front of national media. He created an election police. He also was very good in responding to hurricanes and other tragedies.
So by fighting election fraud, Ron DeSantis, quote, gamed the system. Well, he certainly did. He gamed their system. And we ought to demand that every state games their system. We ought to demand that every election in America looks like Florida's election. Not in its outcome, but in the way it's conducted. Only registered voters can vote. They must vote in their own names. They can only vote once, and you get to know the results. You, the citizen who own and run this country, within hours. Anything less than that is an actual attack on democracy. Subscribe to the Fox News YouTube channel to catch our nightly opens, stories that are changing the world and changing your life. From Tucker Carlson Tonight.
Elizabeth, why don't you go first and give me your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, it's funny that, you know, if the votes, it doesn't matter how long it takes to count them as long as they're counted, all of them. And I don't understand why it's so hard for the news media to stay out of it. Wait until the results are in. Then you give the illusion that it's a fair election. But that doesn't seem to be the case.
True. You know. Okay.
And the the big thing
what I got out of
that.
I'm sorry, okay. Elizabeth. I apologize. No, I apologize.
Pause.
I thought you paused.
Well, I was just going to say how, you know, when you go to vote and it says no ID required, it's just blatant. Mm-hmm. We don't care what goes on. So it gives the illusion of a false.
That's a dog whistle.
It was the very, very discouraging. The whole process was. Yep. Anyway, your thoughts, Carla.
So did you catch what he said? Every time you said it doesn't really matter how long it takes. Yes, Elizabeth, I agree with that to a certain degree. But in most of the elections that it took that long, it ends up benefiting the Democrats. So that means that while they're doing it, they're cheating. Okay. And just look what just happened in Nevada. Look what happened in Arizona. So, and then look what happened in Florida. Okay. So they made it voter ID, count all the ballots in one day. None of this crap's going on down there. And look what happened. They got their election results in one day because they took the fraud out of it. And I wish we could model all the states on that. And the only way to do it, apparently, is to flip all the election boards and legislative bodies within the states. It happened, believe it or not, in New York. New York,
that's
flipped red. Everybody but the governorship flipped red. And
they had to hold on to that. They had to hold on to that, you know, because of COVID, these governors, you know, their limited powers has become basically, you know, virtually infinite. You know, they can do whatever they want. They can change voting laws. They can, you know, they can change gun laws. It has nothing to do with COVID, but they can change gun laws. They can, you know, change, you know, public health stuff. They can do. They've got so much power now. That I think they had to put all of their cheating resources into that governor's race because, you know, the FBI is in the state of, you know, the federal FBI is in the state of New York. So, you know, the DAs of New York have more power and, you know, they are now writing, they're not writing executive orders, but they've got the governor basically writing these executive orders to give them unlimited powers, right? So I think all of their cheating had to go into that race in particular.
Yes. So I have an announcement, if you guys don't mind. Did you have a Jimmy Dore
announcement
one?
Department open?
something really good happened today. And it's going to sound kind of silly, but I haven't had any hot water. Well, okay, so back up the boat. If you've ever lived in California, you know something about our state. We go for 3-4 years without any rain, sometimes 5 and 6 years, sometimes even 7 years without any rain. And in typical California, it all comes in once in 4 hours. So on Tuesday, on election day, we got our deluge. It was so bad that it came into my house and flooded my house. And it's scary and sad, and I figured it out and, you know, called the insurance company. Ugh, no, we don't cover that, right? Been paying insurance on this house for my entire family for like 40 years straight to this one company. And when I need them, anyway, at the same time that this big deluge happened, it was a windstorm. It was literally blowing at the house, the rain was. It blew out the pilot light on my hot water heater. So I've been fussing and about that for days. I haven't been able to take a hot shower and, it, you know, all the other stuff that goes with it. And I called a plumber to come and turn it back on. And the guy came yesterday morning, and I said, how much will it be to turn on my pilot light? Anybody want to take a guess how much it that we to turn
I'm
on?
I'm going to recuse myself from this because I already know the answer.
What do you think, Elizabeth? Take a shot, a guess at how much a plumber would charge to pop a button and turn on a pilot light.
Well, in the real world, it shouldn't be charged. It's an easy thing to do, but I can't.
That's what I thought.
I hope it doesn't.
That's what I thought. I thought they do it as courtesy, right?
$150, which is horrible.
You're pretty damn close. You told me $185 to turn to
oh
do
my
it.
God.
So I said, thank
so
you
sorry.
And have a nice day. Yeah. Anyway, so today here's the good news. I put it out there on Facebook. I'm like, look, does anybody within the sound of my voice know how to turn on a pilot light? And mm-hmm. somebody came today and did it for me. And it was this new friend that I met. And now I have a new friend and he's very sweet. And he came and turned it on. And now I have hot water. So that's the good news. Having said that.
Oh, yeah, that is good news.
It is. Having said that, I was waiting for him because he was coming for free. And I need to go to the feed store to get feed for my chickens before I start my work week. So I was wondering if it would be all right with you folks if I do my good news report just a little bit early.
Absolutely.
I'm good with that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I was surprised you came on today because it was like you had your plate full. So absolutely.
I did, and
please.
I do, and it's been kind of crazy, and I know you guys are praying for me. I can feel it. I know you are.
Well,
so
good.
There was some good, really, really good news in the election. So as I said, all the complaining, all the bitching, we didn't take the Senate, which was kind of important into, you know, because, okay, so you, Elizabeth, you said something really, you know, wise. You're like, there must be so many Democrats. Look how, you know, how much, even with all of the stuff that's going on right now with the economy in the tank, with, I mean, the gas mm-hmm. prices, inflation, how could we not flip this so that we could turn it around, mm-hmm. right? I have no idea. The truth is that we actually did, okay? Because we did keep the House. We did take the House. We're going to take the gavel back from Nancy Pelosi. And here we go with a constitutional pop quiz. What does Congress have the power to do or not do?
Investigate, and they have the purse.
They have the power of the purse, right? So it matters. Congress critters, and they get reelected every 2 years. The entire I know everybody chuckles when I call them Congress critters.
Yeah.
Yes. They are Congress sitters get every, they get reelected every 2 years, okay? And this year, we just knew we were going to have this red wave and stop these idiots from spending all this damn money, right? And we were also going to take the Senate, which it didn't work out. But it's looking like that's going to happen. So that right off the top is what I consider good news, so that we can stop this crazy spending, hopefully, and maybe get this inflationary at least heading back in the proper direction. But also, you guys remember me talking a lot about, well, and I hope I quoted General Mike Flynn, who, by the way, is one of my heroes of what I call the resistance now. He said, local action equals national impact. So a lot of these quote-unquote MAGA candidates, so keep this in mind, of the 213 Congress critters that were elected are all what we call MAGA candidates. 213, right? So Trump endorsed 219 candidates. What's 219 plus 16? 235 candidates, and 219 of those won.
The 219 you said?
219 plus 16.
Plus 16 is 235, yeah.
Yeah, 235 candidates, 219 of them won. Okay, so you would never hear that on the media, right? It was a disaster for Trump, blah, blah, blah. Okay. But I think even more important, I'm going to start off with my favorite story of the election. And it says New Yorker. So this was in the New Yorker the day after the election. It was the 9th. Candidates who railed against teachers unions fared depressingly well, according to the New Yorker. And I'm going to read the story, and it's filled with tears of frustration from a main, quote-unquote, mainstream journalist that writes for The New Yorker. She said, I don't want your stuff, parents' rights groups were touting their gains in the midterm elections on Wednesday, saying that their growing clout in school boards across the country heralded tougher pushback against classroom wokery. Though a complete picture of school board results nationally has yet to emerge, organizations like the 1776 Project, PAC, and Moms for Liberty highlighted their gains as a fulcrum movement in their fledgling school reform movement, as a fulcrum moment in their fledgling school reform moment. If you'll excuse me for 1 second, take a break. These groups, those groups and the candidates they endorse encompass a range of views, but yes, hi, Nala. Take a break. Share a focus on tackling teachers' unions, raising educational standards, and on how race, sexuality, and gender are taught in classrooms. So wait a second. Let me read that again. Those groups and the candidates they endorse encompass a range of views, but share a focus on tackling teachers' unions, raising educational standards, and on how race, sexuality, and gender are taught in classrooms. I'm just going to stop and ask this question. Do either of you or anyone listening, and please, you know, if you're listening, you can call in and comment on this, find anything objectionable with those three goals? Anybody have a problem with those three goals?
Nope.
I didn't think so. Their gains echo the reelection win of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, a Republican who campaigned on a platform of parents' rights and other bedrock issues, and who took the unusual step of endorsing several Florida school board candidates. While the gains are welcomed in many schools, anti-censorship campaigners warn that right-leaning parents groups are banning record numbers of books on important teenage identity issues. Okay, so I want to stop again. No one is banning books. what they're saying is we want to know what is in our school library. We want to know what books are being promoted in classrooms. We want to know how these books are being shared and taught. So that nobody has said you can't print these books ever. You can't go to a bookstore and buy it for your kid if you want it. They just want to know what's in our school library, okay? What's being promoted in the classroom. Back to the article. Aidan Bozzetti with the 1776 Project PAC, a super PAC that spent a reported $2.6 million backing candidates lined up against lessons on the controversial critical race theory, celebrated the group flipping its 100th school board. That's some numbers right there. If you want to talk about a crummy election, 100 school boards flipped across this nation. Victories for Tom Paine, Angela Seastrom, Michaeline McCombs, Elaine McKee had switched the Brandywine Public School District in southwestern Michigan from liberal to conservative, the group said, one of the many wins nationwide. Last night was a disappointing night for Republicans in many parts of the country, but we're happy to say that we were very successful in key races in Florida, Oklahoma, Ohio, Maryland, which were by far the biggest places we targeted. Tiffany Justice, a co-founder for Moms for Liberty, which campaigns against school mask mandates and how race and sexuality are taught in class, described wins for aligned candidates in Florida, North and South Carolina, Indiana, Pennsylvania, and beyond. We were thrilled to see so many first-time candidates getting elected to office. With all of those candidates now serving on school boards and enacting policies that are in support of parental rights, we're going to be able to see an improvement in educational outcomes. So that, to me, is very good news.
That is.
Other good news. Hold on. How education freedom played in the midterms. Got a little confused. Judge orders, this is that big tech back again with some more news. A federal judge ordered the Biden administration to hand over communication documents between the federal government and big tech companies. U.S. District Court Judge Terry Doughty of the Western District of Louisiana granted the order of discovery sought by Republican Attorneys General Eric Schmidt of Missouri and Jeff Landry of Louisiana. So I ended last week talking about how Louisiana had filed their own suit. It said the Attorneys General of Louisiana and Missouri filed the lawsuit in May alleging Biden and 8 high-ranking members of his administration and the government colluded with and or coerced social media companies Meta, Twitter, and YouTube to suppress disfavored speakers' viewpoints and content on social media platforms. On Tuesday, this judge ordered the Western ruled there is good cause for the discovery process and set a timetable including specific deadlines for depositions. It's coming. Twitter, you yeah. Say it again.
I said I hope it's coming.
It's coming. I know. But all of us are feeling a little. What's the word? Disappointed, disconcerted. When Elon Musk took over Twitter, you remember he fired, they said 75% of the workforce, right? But there was a guy on there named Yoel Roth, and for the first couple of days, he was posting and Elon Musk were kind of posting together about the process of downsizing the company. And somebody said, you know, hey, you need to look at this guy's old Twitter post because he's one of them. And it turns out Elon Musk is listening to the people that are posting on Twitter. He said he fired this guy. He's on the way out too. So conservative asked Musk to rethink the recommendation. Roth has some very interesting opinions about Republicans and conservatives. tweeting that I'm just saying we fly over these states that voted for a racist tangerine for a reason. That's one of his tweets. And the original Women's March inspired him to tweet that, yes, that person in the pink hat is clearly a bigger threat to your brand of feminism than actual Nazis in the White House. That's after Trump got elected. Justin, Twitter's head of trust and safety, Yoel Roth, and head of sales, Robin Wheeler, are departing the company, Washington Street Journal. So Washington Street Journal. So they got rid of him as well, which is good. The last thing that I want to talk about is we flipped another seat just about a half an hour ago or an hour ago in Oregon. So we're looking stronger and stronger on taking the House. And Danielle, did I send you the story about Julie Kelly and the stuff that they released on Election Day? I don't have it.
I don't recall. Let me. Would you have texted it, or would it have been in?
Who knows? I'm going to give an overview of it, which is really kind of scary. I think it was in Twitchy, actually. While I'm looking,
I don't know
because
I
don't
can't really navigate Twitchy.
Okay, so while I'm looking for it, I just will give you an overview, and then if nothing else, I will read the story when I do find it, because it happened on Election Day. The January 6th committee, when everybody else was paying attention to the election, released a report that very definitely one of the Oath Keepers was an FBI informant, even though they have said, you're crazy, just a conspiracy theory, it's not true, blah, blah, blah. It turns out they stealth released this report and really want us to ignore that it happened. And the way that they did it almost guarantees that happened, right? That would happen, is that no one would actually see the report. Very definitely one of the Oath Keepers that coerced the people to go to the Capitol on January 6th and coerced the people to go into the Capitol on January 6th with an FBI informant. Additionally, Liz Cheney was questioned about Ray Epps, and she, of course, tried to deflect, but they're like, this is you're jailing people and imposing lengthy sentences on these people, and yet we have documented evidence that this man was there telling people to go into the Capitol. Why isn't he being charged? So there's more to follow. Again, Danielle is correct. There's two things that Congress has the power to do, investigations and the power of the purse. So while all of us are deeply disappointed with the outcome of the election, or at least I am. It could have been way better if we'd taken the Senate. We are going to take the House, which is great news. They're going to have the power to start these committees, and I'm looking forward to it. That's all I have for today. Do you guys have any questions or comments about the information that I shared?
Well, I'm just still wondering how it is that we got into the world of the focus of a school instead of the actual skills of speaking and English.
Elizabeth,
literature,
I think we could
and math and algebra and engineering. When did this really get a ground? Was it just in the last couple of years?
It's happened very slowly behind the scenes. Okay, so here's an answer. One of the answers to your question: how, when? Very slowly over the last 20 years. One of the things that the left does is they invade institutions, and everybody's complained about colleges. Okay, but where do those people that go through those colleges end up? Teaching your children
mm-hmm.
and indoctrinating them in
cult-like behavior and cult-like thought processes. Okay, so they're attempting to take the country over inside out. So here's one of the demographics that actually did happen. Normally, young people, even though everybody courts them and, you know, let's get out the vote for the young people, they don't vote, okay? All the advertising and, you know, going to college campuses and doing all this stuff, well, guess what? In the midterms, they did. Now, you could make the argument that by floating the debt relief stuff, that they got out to vote for that, but they have indoctrinated these young ones to such a degree that these people actually think that they have the power to control the weather. These people actually believe that a man can have a baby.
I agree with you on the men can't have babies thing, but they can absolutely control
the weather. They can control the weather. They do. They have weather weapons. Weaponization.
It's very easily provable.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me reframe my, because I know what they're doing, no question about it. But it's part of the indoctrination that I'm talking about. The message that they get, this indoctrination that they get, is if you spend enough money, that we can change this progression of quote-unquote climate change.
Oh, I gotcha.
That was what I meant when I said that they can control, that they are convinced that if we spend enough money, we can control this so-called climate change. But yes, I know that they're messing with our weather patterns, no question about it, in order to further their agenda.
And it's not even like, you know, this country, like they in Saudi Arabia, they make it rain once a week. You know, they do that, and it's, they're proud. Their government touts it, that they're proud of it, you know. So this is,
oh God.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm on a little weather tangent.
They're,
I just want everybody
God,
to know
that
they
are not supposed to do that kind of stuff. They're not supposed to do that kind of stuff.
Right. And I would also like to say, for, you know, like, I don't even, it's, climate change is such a hot button, you know, item, like no, like trigger warning kind of stuff I don't even like to call it climate change anymore, because I think we can all agree that the climate does indeed change, you know.
Yes.
There's evidence that the poles used to be tropical, you know, and they're like, well, that was billions of years ago. Yeah, I know. Aren't we trying to slow things down? Okay, well, that's there, and there are also evidence of catastrophic, you know, floods. Was that, you know, also climate change, like, is that what we're saying? That
okay.
These big events happen, and we're overdue for them, you know?
Yes, okay, and that's the other thing, is that they have convinced these young ones that these natural climate changes are due to, are man-made, and they're not. Anyway, so, to Elizabeth's question, they have taken over our education system and started in the colleges, and then they moved down to public education to quote unquote change hearts and minds, and now they're indoctrinating our children, talking about sex, having sex, their sex life. Did you ever know anything about your teacher's sex life when you were in elementary school or junior high school or high school? Did you ever know anything about their sex lives, ever?
No, we didn't even know if they were married. We knew nothing about them.
No, and wouldn't have cared.
There was suspicion that a science teacher in my middle school, in my junior high school, was gay, but, you know, that's just being kids, you know?
People are making it a point to tell your babies who they're sleeping with and try to figure out if these little babies are interested in talking about sleeping with, having sex. It's just wickedness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like that meme where it's like, you know, five-year-old, hey, can I get a tattoo? Parent, no, you're too young. Five-year-old, hey, can I, you know, jump off, or can I drink alcohol? No, you're too young. Can I smoke cigarettes? No, you're too young. Can I turn from a boy to a girl? Yeah, absolutely. You're so brave. Let's go do it.
Yeah.
So, how did that happen? I mean, I just, I cannot.
So we can go back.
I think
right
Ava wanted to marry Segan at one point. Should we have, you know, let that happen? Is that, no, because that's what happens when you're 3 years old and you love somebody, you know, or something. Am I going to go, you know, get dog reassignment surgery for her? No, you know.
The actual institutions that's their job is to teach our children to read and write and become a competitor in the world.
It is unconstitutional, though.
You know, it's like, and we just let it happen. You know, it's like it boggles my mind. And it seems like it happened in overdrive just in the last few years. Did it happen? Have we been exhausted?
Okay, Elizabeth. You're like,
pandemic?
How did it happen that quickly? Listen, here's what happened. COVID happened. And all of a sudden, all these children were at home. And the parents were, like, listening to the crap that these teachers were shoving down their throats. And they're like, whoa, wait a minute. What are you teaching my child? So.
And why are you sitting alone in a room with a mask on, you know, doing a Zoom call? What is wrong with you, you know?
Yes. So the good news, Elizabeth, when that happened, that was actually one of the very positive things that happened during COVID, because parents woke up and went, what the hell? Now they flipped 100 school boards across the country, and we're not even done yet. There'll be more before all of this shakes out, there'll be more school boards, and we're not stopping. We're not done yet. So, all right. I am going to go get feed for my chickens. The last thing I want to do right now is get in the car, but because it's cold and I'm grumpy and I'm having some seasonal affective disorder. So please continue to pray for me. It's working. I will see you guys next week. Have a great week, okay?
Okay,
love you, Carla.
You too.
Okay.
We love you guys.
Thanks for coming.
Blessings.
Bye.
Good Lord. She does such a good job.
Yeah,
so,
you know, I think we do need a little bit of good news. You know, it's just so easy to get. I almost canceled the show today, to be honest, because, you know, I know it's funny. It's like she was dealing with a lot and is still dealing with a lot. But then I'm down here having to be resprayed for bed bugs and dealing with a nightmare situation with my apartment complex who is trying to take zero responsibility for any of this. And so everybody seems to be getting hit hard, you know, and Joanne, I don't want to like, well, actually I would like to talk a little bit about what's going on with her. Like she had her car taken back by, you know, I don't want to get into all of the details, but, you know, you know, fortunately we live in the same city. I helped her out with a ride once. It's certainly not all that people are doing for her though, because she needs about $5,000 to get her car back, and she's basically raised it. And just, you know, from our community and donations and stuff, and it's like, so even though all of us are going through these little, you know, I guess down spots, it's going to turn around. I see it turning around, you know, and so... Yeah, that's everybody's going through it, and I feel for her too. And I'm, you know, concerned a little bit about the house, to be perfectly honest. Like, it's going to need a lot of repairs done, and that's just not the, you know, we don't have that kind of money, you know. So, you know, that's even though I feel like I haven't really been there for her this week with all this stuff going on, but it's ridiculous to get ready for, this fogging or not fumigation, because the tent doesn't go on, but like it's so hard to do this. It's so, you have to put everything that you own in bags. You have to wash every dry every piece of clothing you have, wash every piece of clothing that you have, and then dry it again. That's what you have to do with every piece of clothing that you have. And we've got four people in this house, you know, every blanket, you know, every mattress has to have like this encasement on. They can't be taken off for 18 months for any reason, because they can survive for 18 months without food. These little fucking vampires.
It's so much easier just to burn the place down and start all over again.
I've totally been like all for like the last month, I've been joking about this. Like, okay, I can fix it right now. Anybody got a match? Like and they live in the walls too. And the apartment complex is not responding to neighbors, you know, asking about this stuff. And, and then the neighbors who are like looking for an inspection, they always say no the first time, you know, they told us no the first time. And then we showed them pictures and they're like, yeah, that's it. And then the second time they came in on a Thursday and they said, no, we don't see anything, because it's the daytime and they're nocturnal. I don't know why nobody knows this stuff. But, you know, the pest control company puts these traps, you know, in the room. They're just like sticky traps, basically. And and they said, no, you don't have them. The apartment complex, great news. You don't have them. You might need to throw away your box spring, but you don't have them, you know. Okay, why would I need to throw away my box spring if I don't have them? But, you know, I digress. Comes back in 1 week, and yes, there's bed bugs in the trap, because they live in the walls. They'll go to the neighbor's house, you know, and then come back. It's just maddening. So I haven't been there for her either, you know, through this, and she's just one person. So I feel bad.
You know, and how are you feeling? Like, are you guys kind of sick? Your mom says she's a little sick. Cause I know that when like just making dinner was like, it was like too much. And I almost called you like, I'm not in the mood for this. I don't feel good. Everything was dropping and getting wet. And my phone wouldn't charge after that whole big blackout thing. My phone's not charging. I'm like, there's something is going on. But on top of it, they've been spraying these guys for weeks. And everybody's sick. And when you just don't feel good, the little things push you over the edge. And I think maybe collectively, that's the plan, man, is to keep you down and to not appreciate what you have, you know? Back in the day, I mean, there was there's a lot of little old sayings, little nursery rhymes and things. And something my parents, they grew up in the 30s. They'd always say, sleep tight, don't let the bed bugs bite. And we were like, what? And that's what they would always say, because that was a fact of life, like mosquitoes and, you know, the cockroaches. There was no way to get rid of bed bugs. It was just something people lived with and joked about. It's like that constant battle between, you know, do you want to become an off-gridder and live outside and go camping? And it's like, you go outside and it's like, oh God, I can't stand it. The bugs are everywhere in the grass and whatever. It's like, you want your nice little clothes in the place. It's your shelter from the ucky world that everybody wants to get away and go and enjoy. The great outdoors, but it's like, it's a jungle. And when the jungle comes in and lives with you, it's like, you certainly don't want to share your home with things, but it's like, they're everywhere. The vermin. I still got my mice, but now I'm like, they're so cute. I'm not killing them anymore. I got the live traps and I've caught some, and they're so little and cute. And I take them outside and I'm like, oh my God, it's going to bite me. And he didn't want to jump out of his trap. He's just like, didn't know what the unknown was going to be. I'm like, oh, you poor baby. And I felt bad. I'm like, oh no.
Give him a hamster wheel.
I'm like, I got it. Like, now they're my little pets. But I was like, you got to go. And
maybe you can train him to do your bidding.
Yes. Oh, yes. I will possess you. Yes. Oh, but the door hit his little tail, and the yipe. He made a yipe, and I was like, "Oh, you poor baby!"
Aww.
And then it was just like, and I'm like, "Okay, I got the traps," and I'm like, "They're just part of the house. It's kind of like they've been here forever. They were here before I came. There was just so many of them that I noticed them. Now I've kind of like got them down a little bit, but you'll never get rid of them. So it's kind of like." You know, they're cute, they're little.
You ever thought about getting
a cat? No. I have, and that would add a whole new element to the living hell that I have. When, you know, I have chihuahuas that bark, and I'm just like, shut up. I don't feel good. And they're looking at me like, you just don't know how fun it is to have a cat. It would be like, oh, you know. No, because I have a cat on the porch. I'm like, I feed him like a prince. I'm like, why are you not doing your job? That's the funny thing was when
freeloader.
I let the mouse
That's like
out
chickens
the
that don't lay eggs.
He ran after the mouse. I'm like, this is really what you should be doing all the time. Have to bring you your mouse? Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. My mom's dog, actually, because they've got... After their neighbor cut down a tree, she got rats, not just mice, but rats. And so...
See, now that would be a whole different story.
Right. And Nala catches like one or two a week, but I'm like, just get cats. And she's like, no, because of this excuse, that excuse, this excuse, that excuse. And I'm like, dude, what do you... Like, I mean, I'm trying to give solutions. Like, why not go to the Humane Society, adopt a couple cats... you know, Nala will befriend them and they'll all go out rat hunting and you won't have anything for after too long.
Well,
you know, they're rats. They're big. How many could there be?
Mm-hmm. You know, here's the circle of life and the ecosystem. We've got, cougars are popping up everywhere in our area. And it's like, we need them. And people are freaking out. I'm like, no, the ecosystem is healing. We've had so many deer. And then the coyotes came back and the wolves came back and now we got the cougars. And, you know, we were just swimming in raccoons and possums and squirrels and whatnot. The whole thing kind of, it keeps the balance, you know, once you get the big predators and the little ones are gone, the rats and the mice and squirrels and possums and raccoons.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of bunnies in Carlsbad too.
We used to. No, I haven't seen any because we have our large predators that are eating those guys. But I don't know. Here I am, the big live and let live. You know, they're all kind of like, you know, as long as they leave me alone and I don't want them in my house, that's why I have a house. I don't know. We had to kind of figure out how to cohabitate. Everything's here for a purpose. Even my favorite thing is... like the possums, those are so cute, and they're so beneficial. It's like it's good that you have them out there because they get the ticks and all those yucky bugs that you don't want. They live on. My big thing is
do they eat bed bugs? I'll go get a family of opossum if they eat bed bugs.
Maybe a possum. Yes, get yourself a possum. I don't know. Bed bugs sound like a microscopic fucking disaster from hell. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're vampires. This is like basically Dracula if it was a bug. They never show up. You can never find them unless you actually like take a picture at night and you just wake up with these like welts and you know, and I guess they only take 10 minutes to feed. And they do one bite for 3 minutes, then they move, you know, a few, maybe an inch away. And then they bite again, and then another inch. So it's like a trail. And I'm pretty sure that they're just Dracula reincarnated into a bug.
Mm-hmm. Are you getting bit up? Are you noticing bites or just the notice that you have?
Yes. Yes, I am. Ava's got it the worst. Mm-hmm. She's got like a series right now. I mean, they're pretty much gone now, but like 7 in a row.
Hey. Okay, sure. Let's treat it with essential oils. Get yourself some organic
tea tree,
coconut
yes.
oil.
Spraying with tea tree oil.
No, peppermint.
Tea tree.
Peppermint. Peppermint and clove.
I could do peppermint together. Too. Yep.
But those are the ones that they don't like. It instantly repels is the peppermint and the clove.
Yeah. Tea tree.
And then
been, and that's, I did a mixture of tea tree and witch hazel and gave squirt bottles to everybody. So they spray themselves and they spray their beds before we go to bed.
But lotion yourself up. Cause I, and maybe that will keep them off of you personally.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Perhaps. Just like, you know, the baby soft stuff they used to have for going outside for the mosquitoes.
Skin so soft or whatever.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But, yeah, essential oils and the peppermint and the clove on you might keep them off of you. And then maybe you can coexist a little bit.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Where should I don't know. I don't even know. I've been looking for peppermint oil for a while now. I can't find it in any of the stores. Do you have a website that you recommend?
Oh my gosh. Well, I get it from Young Living, who is now like I'm so tired of this COVID. This COVID thing and everyone's freaking out over being sick. They are like in backlog. Like they don't have enough staff and whatnot. So they won't even answer their phones. I don't even know if my shipment's coming at all. But I got some stuff online from Amazon, and it's not as good quality, but I got some cypress, which I use to diffuse to help me to breathe. I add that to eucalyptus in a diffuser, and that keeps it dries up the sinuses and the lungs and keeps the bronchitis from coming with a sinus drip and such things. But there's a lot. Just go on. I know it's terrible to use the evil Amazon shopping thing, but type that in and see what pops up. But, you know, peppermint, I can't see where they can go wrong with that because it's just got such a pungent, you know, it'll burn your eyes.
Yeah.
You get your finger by your eye. But it balances your system, too. Peppermint does so many things. Balances out your body, or if you get the high blood pressure and whatnot, it kind of equalizes your body out. It's a wonderful oil. But I haven't, but there's a lot of, I thought about trying the doTERRA. doTERRA is supposed to have been a spring up, an offshoot of Young Living. One of the guys left Young Living and started doTERRA. So I think maybe the quality might be maybe comparable to that, but I'm still spoiled with the Young Living oils on that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll look into that. During the Good News Report, my phone dropped. I don't know if she got to the story about the NIH admitting that people with COVID. Okay, cool. So that's what this is about. I'd like to do a quick Jimmy Dore video about this article or this study that came out. Most of it's all right. Most of it is, because I think sometimes the when it's just audio and you're playing a video, like it loses a little bit of something because there's a visual aspect of it that, you know, helps you understand. So this one's not super bad. Some of them have been worse, but there are maybe a couple parts maybe people won't understand if they're not watching it. So I'm going to post it in the chat. But anyway, so I'd love to get your thoughts on this afterwards too.
Sounds good.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Before we even start to begin thinking about forgiveness, we need a couple of necessary steps before that, and those are true repentance and accountability. And
She sounds like Jimmy Dore.
Yeah,
that's what Jimmy Dore's been saying, that before we give forgiveness for the people who were Nazis around COVID policy, who were pro-lockdown, pro-mandates, and they were 100% wrong on all that stuff, it's okay to be wrong about that stuff. What's not okay is then demonize people who disagree with you on facts.
Yeah.
That's not okay. And what Chomsky did is not okay by equating people who didn't want to go along with the government and Big Pharma's COVID narrative that they should be starved to death, basically, and that they're equivalent of people who want to murder you with their car. That's what Chomsky said, and he still hasn't apologized. I have a feeling he never will. I have a feeling we're getting a big reveal on Chomsky's character. Turns out you can be super smart and still lack character.
Noam Chomsky, the Pol Pot of the flu.
So now this guy tweets this out. There's a new study. So you see this study? It says the incidence of myocarditis and pericarditis in post-COVID-19 unvaccinated patients, a large population-based study. So they wanted to see if you get myocarditis after you've had COVID, because we know that you get myocarditis. There is some myocarditis from the vax, especially for males 40 and under.
And YouTube also tells us that you have a huge chance of getting it if you don't get the vax. So are you telling me NIH has different information?
I'm telling you.
Than YouTube scientists, who I respect and I believe are right ahead of time before you say this.
So from this study, the incidence of myocarditis and pericarditis in post-COVID-19 unvaccinated patients. So this is a good study. What did they find? Post-COVID-19 infection was not associated with either myocarditis or pericarditis. We did not observe an increased incidence of neither pericarditis nor myocarditis in adult patients recovering from COVID-19. Their conclusion, this is from their study, our data suggests that there is no increase in the incidence of myocarditis or pericarditis in COVID-19 recovered patients compared to uninfected matched controls. Further long-term studies will be needed to estimate the incidence of pericarditis and myocarditis in patients diagnosed with COVID-19. So what they're saying, because what we've been told over and over is that there's a greater incidence of myocarditis and pericarditis from getting COVID than there is from the COVID vaccine. So that's what they've said.
Is myocarditis an enlarged heart? Is that what that means?
It's an inflammation. So one is in the interior of the heart and one is the external. So myocarditis and pericarditis, one is the thing around the heart and one is, and I'm not sure which is with.
Well, is there any information about Chelsea Handler's myovagitis after her shots? I believe she's in the hospital with it. I don't remember any word coming back about the...
That is not funny.
No, well, because it works. The vaccine works.
So I have to state again, as I do any time I talk about the COVID or vaccines, that the COVID vaccines are safe and effective. They will keep you from getting seriously ill, hospitalized, or death. And they slow the transmission and contraction. So they are fantastic. And that's the YouTube science, which is the right science.
And not only that, I trust
the government.
And especially the veterinarian in charge of Pfizer. Because who better to protect me from horse drugs than a veterinarian?
Than a veterinarian. So we know that it's now undeniable that the vaccine can cause more myocarditis in men under 40 than the COVID-19 virus itself. So, and here's we've covered this already. I'm just so he's showing you that they did a study and it showed that if you're a male 40 or under, that you have a higher incidence of myocarditis than the people who got COVID, right? So now we know this. COVID vaccines may cause myocarditis, but COVID itself causes myocarditis too, right? Well, according to this large Israeli study of 196,992 unvaccinated adults after COVID infection showed that COVID infection was not associated with either myocarditis or pericarditis. So that is great news. A, it's great news. And B, it kind of puts a dent in their narrative about myocarditis and the COVID virus and the vax. So it just puts a big, huge MFing dent in it. And again, I'm going to tell you the vaccine is safe and effective. And it keeps you from being seriously ill or dying or going hospital. And it also will slow the transmission and contraction. But, there's all this other stuff.
You know what it is? YouTube does move at the speed of science, but not this science.
But now we know that COVID, we know that there is no increase in myocarditis or pericarditis in people who get COVID and they recover. Isn't that great news? That's great news.
Podcaster Joe Rogan, who is a frequent spreader of COVID misinformation, was fact checked on his show in real time. Here it is.
For young boys in particular, there's an adverse risk associated with the vaccine. It's like
yes.
a 2 to 4-fold increase in the instances of myocarditis.
The latest in the fight against COVID-19 and a new recommendation from the Florida Surgeon General. He's now recommending against the COVID-19 mRNA vaccine for men of certain ages. The department says the analysis found an 84% increase in cardiac-related death amongst males 18 to 39 within 28 days following the vaccination.
You know that there's an increased risk of myocarditis in among that age cohort from getting COVID as well.
We're going to be looking at a study. And what it did, it looked at a large cohort of people who'd had COVID diagnosed by PCR, a large group of people as a control that had not had COVID, who never had symptoms and tested negative on PCR, and they compared the incidence of myocarditis and pericarditis between the two groups. What they found is there was no difference between the groups. So the COVID group did not have more myocarditis and pericarditis than the group who'd never had the COVID infections.
Which exceeds the risk.
Turns out Joe Rogan was right.
Yeah.
Turns out Joe Rogan was right. That's Josh Zepps. Now, Josh Zepps, fine individual, nice guy.
Defended me on Young Turks when that prick Chink was going in on me back in the day.
Oh, did he?
Yep.
Josh Zepps, he's a good egg. And he was wrong about that at the time. But at the time, that was the information that was being circulated in the mainstream press, what he's going to say here.
Myocarditis from the vaccine.
I don't think that's true. I don't think it's true. I don't think it's true that there's an increased risk of myocarditis from people catching COVID that are young versus increased risk of myocarditis from the vaccine.
No, there is. Yeah, so you're about 8 times.
So again, not dunking on Josh Zepps at all. They looked it up and they found science to back up Josh Zepps because that's what the big pharma funded media was saying back then. But now we have actual studies, and we've done, and they debunked all that stuff. And it turns out Joe Rogan was right. But let's just remember that the vaccine is safe and effective. It will keep you from getting seriously ill, hospitalized, or death, and that it does slow the transmission and contraction of the virus. And it's fantastic.
Yeah, unless it breaks through, but everything gets breakthrough.
Some things break through. So, and I'm not giving medical advice. We're just covering the thing. We'll see you November 19th and 20th in Austin, Texas. November 26th, that's the Saturday after Thanksgiving in Burbank. And then all December, we're going to be in Los Angeles doing Friday night shows. Go to jimmydore.com for a link for all the tickets and become a premium member. While you're there, you get all of our videos unedited. jimmydore.com, not Jimmy Dore Comedy.
Okay, were you able to follow that? I know, like I said, watching it is a little bit gives a little more context. But, all right, what do you think?
What did we miss from what was the visual that we missed?
Joe Rogan and doing an interview with a guest that was the quote unquote fact check live. Thing mm-hmm. the reporter was
name.
You know, so it just, I mean, most, I mean, I'm just saying that most people will be fine with it, but there is like a little bit of lost context if you're not watching it at the same time. So I'm glad
right.
that you were able.
Yeah, see, every time I listen to this stuff, I have other knowledge that I know about, and I'm like, why are you, they are like putting us to sleep with these words that no one really knows what they mean. And he did explain what they were, but not with any sense of urgency. You know, when your heart inflames and swells up, you're about to have a heart attack. Just like when your brain swells up, you could have a stroke and you could die. And
right.
they keep throwing these words around. It's amazing that they can pronounce them so well because no one can spell them, But they're putting us to sleep with these nonsensical words that take away the urgency of these are dangerous. These are dangerous side effects. And then if not, you know, why we didn't hear about these words during the it used to be the coronavirus, and then they had to change it because the coronavirus, everyone found out, wasn't that life-threatening, so they changed it to COVID. The COVID scare, we didn't have, like, swelling hearts and heart attacks. It was more of an upper respiratory thing that was going on.
So that perhaps is the missing context, is that they, you know, for the majority of you know, of this, okay, well, we found out that that the vaccine causes myocarditis, and especially in younger men. And, you know, but the retort to that on the other side is, well, so does COVID.
Exactly.
COVID causes myocarditis. So, you know, it's possible that they just got the infection and that caused the myocarditis, not the vaccine. Right. And so now we've got a study that, you know, that is peer reviewed out of Israel showing that people who had COVID did not have, you know, more. The data suggests that there was not a correlation between COVID and myocarditis. Now, the vaccine, on the other hand, it does. But that was that Joe Rogan guest saying, you know, parroting that falsity, that falsehood that causes myocarditis in higher numbers than the vaccine.
So that it's all okay because the whole rationale is ridiculous.
Basically saying that you're still reducing your risk of myocarditis if you get the vaccine. You know what I mean? Like, that's the twisted logic that they're trying to throw out there. Is that
smoke and mirrors. Basically,
correct. Yeah,
you know, it's the, you know, the mother who can see no wrong with their serial killer son, you know, same type of logic to protect this vaccine.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. But, you know, think back. I did not remember hearing any type of heart issues until after or right about when they had the vaccine, not during the crisis. And then it seemed to, you know, but what kills me, though, is that, you know, number one, I don't think anybody thinks this is a serious thing. It's just a new word that's out there, myocarditis. You can have a heart attack, guys. Moms and dads, you want to leave your children orphans, and moms and dads, you want to have your children die before you do? With this, they could get a heart attack and die. But the new thing that they will not talk about is the miscarriages. And these miscarriages are being caused by these babies in the womb having myocarditis and having heart attacks and dying before they're able to be birthed. And there's a new video I'd love if we could play it. I've got one. I think it's a TikTok off of Rumble. Christine Northrup. And, you know, the disinformation does, and it's out there trying to work hard to save humanity, has this new investigative group of doctors who have gathered the data of what's been going on since these vaccines have been injected into people. And it's nothing but it's an assault upon our ability to procreate and have life, because babies are not able to live. And that's coming out in huge, huge numbers, and that's the biggest suppressed story. So when I listen to anybody talk about this myocarditis, I'm just like rolling my eyes the whole time when I'm hearing this. It's just like all of these bills they put out that have no names. It's all HB1, blah, 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 whatever. They are killing us with endless, senseless words and numbers and information that we can't quite grasp. And after a while, we kind of tune it out. And then this is another one.
Well, and it's kind of interesting you said that they're nameless. It's because that's not true. You know, they obviously they've got the HB blah blah blah, but when they are named, like they're usually named something like the Happy Kittens and Rainbow Bill, and it's like really about genocide. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. We have one. It's called the Workers' Right Bill, the Workers' Right Amendment right now, and that's so exactly opposite of what it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, it's crazy. It is crazy.
But they're even, this is how I know that this is like kind of BS is like you could, there's even, I don't know if you've seen it, but I think the New York Department of Health put out this, like this ad about pediatric myocarditis. And yeah, like, so I was going and my tummy started hurting and, you know, then my chest got tight. And we went to the hospital, and the doctor said that I've got myocarditis, and just with a couple pills or whatever it was, now I'm back to being, you know, on track to be a famous fashion designer. This is like a 10-year-old girl. Like this, she almost looks like AOC, you know, like a young AOC.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's so sad because they're normalizing it.
Mm-hmm. As they do with everything. And that's why I cannot watch TV. The main, you know, there's a very few channels that I watch, and they certainly don't contain all of these pharmaceutical ads and the ad that you just described, which is just, it turns my stomach to watch this stuff. And that is what the reality that they're trying to create. It just makes me so mad. And even listening to Jimmy Dore, when he has to tongue-in-cheek say that these things are safe and effective and blah, it's like there's a level of people out there that they don't know that he's being incredibly sarcastic about it.
He's a comedian, you know, and that's, I think, what he gets to hide behind is the satire of it. And, you know, and I think it's kind of a brilliant approach to wake people up. Because his videos aren't going to get taken down from YouTube. We know that Rumble and you know, BitChute are alternate platforms, and that's great. But YouTube is the place to be right now. And, you know, when I got taken off YouTube, right, it was because of medical misinformation. It is such a strong policy that, you know, that he has. And it's, you know, it's the same thing every time. So, like,
Well, anyways, it is exactly what you hear when you turn the radio on. It is, get your COVID, it's safe and effective.
But he even does it in a radio voice, which I think makes it funny.
I know, but people think anymore. It's just that's just what's drummed into their heads, and it's like, no, we need a different message out there to be able to get out.
Well, that's precisely my point, is that he does give out a powerful message, okay, but if he gets taken off of YouTube, we just need somebody to get that message out. How you get that message out if you're taken off of the number one content creator platform, you know?
I agree. I totally agree. Same reason, you know, I stay where I'm at working for Satan, because if we all leave, evil takes over. But how did I lose my thought? I lost my thought. God damn it. Continue talking.
Catch it.
I was going to agree with you, but throw in that nice little thought that I had. I don't know what's going on down the road of the never ending. Oh yes, here the parenting. This is where, you know, you and I, there's a like a 30-year difference between our ages, but we're still, you know, your mind is open. You're aware, thankfully. But there's a lot of people out there that aren't, and they're just parroting. They're parents. And the bumper stickers I saw was, and I had to look down. I'm like, they're about, they look like they're 12, means they're like 25. Vote Democratic, save democracy. And that had just come out of the mouth, you know. But that's already on bumper stickers in one of the upscale suburbs of Chicago, along with the "fuck Putin," you know, so eloquent, with a little flag. But that goes to the fact that what they hear, they think it is so. And they repeat it as being God's honest fucking facts. And safe and effective is one of the big ones that nobody even bats an eye when it, you know, there's 15 COVID vaccine commercials when you're trying to listen to just regular radio. And you're just pummeled with it. And I'm just like, oh, the fucking propaganda. You're not going to find a station that doesn't have this. And, of course, nobody wants to listen to it. But I'm like, I'm not going to be brainwashed. I'm not having my mind assaulted by this anymore. And it doesn't bother anybody else because they're accustomed to it. And that disturbs me. So, and it's like those, you know, and there is no other way to say it. It's almost like this, totalitarian fucking dystopian nightmare of safe and effective, which, you know, means Big Brother loves you. Why would he not love you?
Right.
And people just have this glaze over their eyes. Oh, my Lordy. I don't know.
I saw somebody limping in the parking lot, wearing a mask, right? Limping through a parking lot. And I was with my husband. I was like, oh, yeah, he's on number 6. You know, like you could just tell these people that they're starting to turn into zombies, it looks like, you know? And, and it's funny, like, and now I'm like, my kids are actually mad at me because it's calling me a hypocrite. And possibly it's a little hypocritical, but, like, you know, after everything that happened to me for not wearing masks, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic, but when I see people that are wearing masks, I kind of cough sometimes in their direction or sometimes I'll just be like, whoa, like, stay 6 feet away from this one, kids, you know? They're clearly sick, right? Like, kind of like, a little bit joking around or you know, possibly calling them names in private, you know, that start with R. You know, and I'm sure I'll get over it soon, except these are the same people that are going to bring us into the next pandemic where we have to start wearing masks. They're already talking about bringing masks back in public settings, especially schools, you know, and forced vaccines on everybody again, right? Although here's something that, and maybe there's a way around this for the establishment, but for those of us who haven't taken the initial, what they're calling the initial series of COVID vaccines, they're phasing those out. So, and bringing in this new booster that's like a, you know, that's for the new variants, right? But you can't get that booster unless you've had the initial series. So if they're phasing out the initial series, does that mean that people who are unvaccinated are kind of off the hook? Do we not have to do it if there's no vaccine around? Even if I was like, okay, fine, your society, you're pressuring me into getting, not that I would ever do this, but you're pressuring me into getting this initial series. Where can I go get it? And it's not available. Does that mean that we don't have to do it?
No. They have lost sight of any rational, ethical, medical treatments. They are offering free shots everywhere. And at my employment, they had a day where you could go and you could get every shot on earth and have them all at once and then go back to work. And I'm like, oh, my God, they could have an epileptic.
And go drive a bus full of children home? Okay.
Exactly. Seriously. And I was like, how irresponsible to give anyone this many shots. You could get your DMT, everything. It was like, these crazy people are going,
probably not DMT.
I want them all. And they'll just be like, you know, fucking piling them up in the back as they die because they asked for it and it was free. They don't care what it is as long as they're sticking chemicals in your body. That seems to be their main mission right now. So no, I don't think. I think it'll be like a special form of they'll get a bonus if they can get, you know, the unvaccinated vaccinated with a flu shot, the new and improved flu shot that has like.
Well,
you know,
clearly everybody they were going to hook with free donuts has already gotten their shot, so they are going to have to up their game a little bit for the next round.
Well, to try to get us is going to have to be, you either eat or you get the shot. That's what they're going to have to tighten that screw all the way. The rest of them, they, like I said, they all went in. They're like, oh, I shouldn't have gotten them all in my same arm because it hurts so bad. And I was like, don't die on my bus, for God's sakes. They got very upset. But then they were gone because they got very sick. And then I got very sick because I was around a bioweapon.
And
they're all like, talking to each other like they're, you know, crazy little lab rats that, you know, did you get sick? Yeah, I got really sick. And I was like, Jesus Christ, go get another one quick. Maybe you'll get more sick, you know, which means you'll get better. That's the stupid rationale.
That means it's working.
Oh, my Lord. Do you know there's even there's a billboard up by O'Hare Airport, because I drive that every day. And it has an actual mouse or a rat dressed as a doctor in a little white coat with the white mask and a stethoscope. It says, what do you do if you got COVID? And I'm like, oh, my God, come and be a lab rat. And I was like, I can't even believe they put that cartoon up there. But they're just like, they're throwing it in your face that you're just – You're just a lab rat. Come trust the Dr. Rat. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? This is it's absurd that they can't even make it a Ben Casey, Dr. Welby kind of thing. It's a little fucking mouse dressed as a doctor telling you to come get your shot. And I'm like, wow. And nobody sees the absurdity in it. But the fact that they wouldn't put that out as a campaign, just like, I'm like, wow, this is them laughing all the way. As we succumb to what they want, they're laughing because we're that stupid.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe
absolutely.
That. And it's just, it's flashy. It's a flashing one. It's a cartoon flashing, colorful, Las Vegas kind of billboard. But
right.
I'm in a dystopian fucking clown world of like, I can't fucking believe it. All the time.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I don't know.
I'm hoping, though, as more and more of these illusions, you know, crumble, you know, maybe I do keep my optimism up that people will wake up from this spell, this neoliberal spell.
I think they will. This is like they said that the you know, this election really ran upon, you know, women's rights, right? My body, my choice.
Uh-huh.
And you know, Illinois is the abortion, you know, capital. We've already built the hotels and medical centers to lure everyone.
Yeah,
in
California is trying to,
you know,
compete for that title.
Disgusting. So you know, with that being said, they have just shot themselves in the foot because. You can't have that, and then you want to just go the, it doesn't apply to my body for my medical choice, but you can have your medical choice. And they insist on it's a medical procedure. Well, that medical procedure is okay, but this one is not. So I think we've opened up the entire Pandora's box of consistency and laws and continuity of constitutional law has just been opened up, and it is going to come to a huge head. And I do believe that you can't have one without the other. And you know they want their abortions, so they're going to have to, you know, give an inch and give us our own autonomy.
Autonomy. But you know what's really interesting? They only support this agenda if it has to do with killing babies. Like, they don't give a shit about your mental health, about your physical health. They will tell you to inject everything, you know, that they want into your body, mm-hmm. and you better like it. And they're trying to set precedence mm-hmm. with, you know, with COVID. So, you know, mm-hmm. really, it's very interesting that it, you know, it's very blatant to me that the only medical freedoms, body autonomy that they're that they're willing to fight for is killing babies. That's so like
Mother.
A Moloch situation that we've caught on our hands.
Mm-hmm. No, and if people can't see it, and I think we need to take away these cute little words. You know, it's not myocarditis. It's a heart attack. It's not an abortion. It is killing your baby. It's not a fetus. It's a baby. You're killing your baby.
Yeah, it's
and
a baby,
just,
yeah.
That is a term. I'm so sorry, but that's what you're doing. And I'm not going to let you have your little conceived, politically correct, kumbaya blanket of, you know, medical procedure, necessary medical procedure is what they like to call it. No, it's not. You're killing your baby.
No, no, those are fine. I maybe you'll disagree with me on this, but I do believe that if it's like the mother's life is at risk, If this fetus, like for instance, like an ectopic pregnancy, where the baby forms in the fallopian tube and not in the uterus, and it's going to rupture mm-hmm. as it gets to, basically no older than 12 weeks, the disinformation campaign around it is that, the mother just has to die and they cannot kill this ectopic pregnancy or this baby, which most likely has already died, That's like the misinformation where I'm not talking about, the Steel Magnolia moment, it's this like mm-hmm. very, sick person that if they carry a baby to term that they, to be frank, none of these laws address, we're talking about
right.
selective abortion.
Selective.
So
yes.
But again, that's not on the table. Medically necessary abortions have never been illegal, basically. They've never been
That's a medical
illegal.
Piece.
Yes. Well,
that's a necessary. They've given it a medical procedure. We had to do this to save the mother's life. And that happens so rarely. It's almost like it comes from the land of, do you have a link for that? And did you use all your punctuation correctly? Because I can't talk to you unless it's been properly spelled and punctuated. That type of mindset is what is governing this conversation.
It's
and,
a very small, I understand what you're saying. So no, and now, okay, remember when I was a neo-lib, I was pregnant, that's when I had my babies is when I was a neo-lib. And I ate this information, the obstetric information for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I was fascinated by it. So I used to call mm-hmm. them like the dead baby shows it's like the, what's it called? The TLC where it's like, expecting like just these crazy medical. I remember following these this set of twins that conjoined twins that are still alive now and attached to the head. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I watched it all right. And there are a large a percentage of pregnancies that your body will just automatically abort because they it doesn't terminate because it's not going to work with the health of the mother. Mm-hmm. But I'm, like I said, mm-hmm. I know that there's enough situations that would warrant a medical abortion or even like after a miscarriage, like a lot of times there's still fetal tissue and stuff that's in there that could fester, right? Like people try to say that's an abortion and that's illegal. No, that baby's already dead. So it's not an abortion.
Right.
It's just cleaning out the uterus, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like I said, so much disinformation around this that people think that's mm-hmm. what they're talking about, that if you've got a miscarriage and you've got fetal tissue inside you, that a doctor can't treat you. And that's just simply not true.
Yeah. And it's a shame they can't differentiate between the what ifs. And the ones are in a 5%, and that is actually the doctor's job is to save your life, not to by any means necessary. And what would you have with all these wonderful procedures and whatnot? Stop. that they would not treat you, but it is, I don't know, this population that we're stuck with right now is so captivated by these absurdities instead of the, you know, here, let us give out free government birth control along with your free government Netflix and your free government phone. And then maybe you don't have to go out and get your, or be so worried that you can't have an abortion because you don't want to have a baby. You know, I would be more comfortable with that than with the,
right,
you know, nonchalance, it can just be taken care of. And it's like there's no responsibility for your actions and the consequences of your actions and the possibility that you might have to face this. Well, no, it's no longer, you know, social, a problem of conscience. It's a way of life for over 50 years. And I'm like, wow. The morality, the conscience of the country has been subverted with this. To me, it's a misguided way of thinking that,
mm-hmm,
you know, human life is just that without value. And then it's a,
right,
they flip around like a fucking, you know, psychotic, you know, drunken psychopath and want you to take care of yourself so you don't get me sick. And I'm like, wow. So it's like, we're not really, step back and see, what are you asking us? What kind of world do you want? We have to have some semblance of consistency that makes sense and everyone is comfortable with. You can't, you know, demand.
Well, chaos is
that
the devil's best tool.
You know? Pardon me?
I said chaos is the devil's best tool.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, that's what's going on. Consistency has to go by the wayside, you know, for this to work for these powers that be, you know. And that's, you know, and that's why it's so important to both of us, I think, that truth has an avenue that we can actually get the right information instead of all of this disinformation. You know, and here, and the other part of this, the other, like, huge part of this that virtually everybody leaves out of this debate of abortion and human rights and mother's rights and woman's rights is that is the profit center of fetal stem cells, which is in everything from, you know, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, yeah, to all the way up to, you know, the COVID vaccine, right? So, you know, mm-hmm, the fact that that for sure, 100, in my opinion, 100% sure that medical professionals profit off of persuading women to abort their pregnancies at all stages, right?
Uh-huh.
Some stem cells can be from, you know, the very beginning, not many,
right? Mm-hmm.
But as the fetus matures, as it gets older and older, and these different systems of the body start developing, kidneys, lungs, heart,
uh-huh,
you know, like hearts, you know, get, mm-hmm, heart cells get stronger. The later in life this fetus is, the more profitable their stem cells are. And so,
yeah,
until that, you know, very underground stealth industry is exposed, is brought to light, people are just going to keep thinking that, you know, it is fine to abort a baby as you're in labor, you know, as,
mm-hmm,
after the fetus is viable.
Or even after.
Or even after in some states like California and
Maryland.
Yes, exactly. 30 days, no questions asked.
Money-back
guarantee.
They're born alive. Oh, God, we can't have that. We can't have that.
Yeah.
Because
that, and now we're getting into sacrifice,
that's
right?
Product that we need. We can use that. That's primo. Yeah. And nobody's talking about that. I'm so glad you brought that up because I forgot about that. That really is the underlying motivation to this.
Yeah.
And they've mind-fucked you into thinking that you have right
idea.
And they're being violated.
No.
Yes.
You have.
How dare they force
DNA that we need? Like the seductive vampires they are to get us to willingly give them every drop of blood.
Maybe they're bad stuff.
Without, you know? Yeah.
I think maybe our politicians are bad stuff.
Worse
they're
than
vampires,
bed
bug. Sure.
And that's such a cute little name, the bed bug. But the vampire, fucking bloodsuckers. Bloodsuckers is what they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
this almost figuratively. They're asking basically for us to consent, and a lot of times
mm-hmm.
under duress. Like, people don't really, by nature, I don't think humans really want to kill babies. You know what I mean? Kill fetuses. They don't want to do it, but there's
right.
this element of shame and stress. Nowadays, like, being a single mom is not really that as bad as it was in the past. But there is this element of, you know, single moms being stressed out so much that it's like that it's really life or death in their opinion, in their minds, and in their realities to
mm-hmm.
have another mouth to feed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and especially in certain neighborhoods, you know, they definitely don't, you know, I went to Planned Parenthood and got both of my pregnancies confirmed, you know, and neither one
mm-hmm.
of them tried to give me literature on abortion, you know. But somebody pointed out that, you know, it's because I live in a very white neighborhood. There are a couple other, I guess groups of people that are large, but by and large, my neighborhood is white. And so when I go to a beach city, they don't really train their staff to push that hard for abortions. It's really more insidious because it's in the poor neighborhoods that they really push for abortions.
Now, I find that odd because, you know, they can't get enough of our blood and our DNA, that they would be let that section of society go away and not target them. That just seems odd to me. And I know what you're saying is true, but I just, at this stage of the game, you would think they want everything because they're after everybody's DNA.
It's true, but you have to think about like how okay. So, for instance, like JonBenet Ramsey, right? I think that there's a fascination in the public eye about that case, about that murder of that child, because of the affluent circles that her family ran and that that. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed beauty queen, right? And so people can't quite let it go, but like a lot of other disappearances, a lot of other murders are just kind of, not as high profile, right? I mean, I just named a 30, 40-year-old murder case now, and people still know who I'm talking about, right? Because it was a young child
mm-hmm.
that died, that yep. was murdered. But I think those
mm-hmm.
demographics have the resources to fight these kind of things more than other demographics do. You know, that's why Margaret Sanger focused more on the black neighborhoods for the first Planned Parenthood. You know,
mm-hmm.
because who's gonna miss them? Well, the community will, but who's gonna pay the legal fees? Well, not that community. And
mm-hmm.
I think that might have been targeted on purpose, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's going to give them the less amount of hassle, they're going to go after those demographics first.
Right. Right. And they did. They picked – now, look at the sequence of events. They targeted the black community with the drugs in Harlem and then with – in the 80s with the crack and then with Planned Parenthood. But then it's everywhere. They've decimated every community the same way, the same tactic. Because it works so well with the ones that wouldn't complain the most, probably. You're probably right on that. Because, it's just so evil and so insidious. Mm-hmm. Evil and insidious.
Do you know, you know John, do you know Really Graceful?
No.
The channel? Okay. Mm. I might have a video, if I can find it, of JonBenet. And basically her, there it is, I found it. I've got a video, I've played it before, and I don't think I've played it for you, but this is about JonBenet Ramsey, and because you know I always like to squeeze in the pedo-gate element if I can, by one of my favorite YouTubers, Really Graceful, basically talking about the JonBenet Ramsey case and why they got away with it. Would you mind listening?
Not at all. I'd love it.
Awesome. Okay, cool. All right, then here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Hey, Internet friends. The year was 1996. The Spice Girls released their debut single, Wannabe. American President Bill Clinton won a second term, making him the first Democrat since Roosevelt to serve 2 full terms. The State of Israel elected Benjamin Netanyahu as their prime minister. The divorce of Prince Charles and Princess Diana was finalized, with Diana officially forfeiting her right to serve as queen. Former NFL player and actor O.J. Simpson testified for the first time in what would go on to be the most publicized criminal trial in history. A successful rapper by the name of Tupac was gunned down in Las Vegas. The Summer Olympic Games were held in Atlanta, Georgia, with 197 countries represented. Dolly the sheep, allegedly the first mammal ever cloned by an adult somatic cell, was born. And just as the year was coming to a close, a 6-year-old beauty queen took her last breath, her body discovered in her family's Boulder, Colorado home the day after Christmas. For years to come, the media would have a frenzy with JonBenet Ramsey's murder, plastering her face across tabloids, throwing accusations of blame at a cast of characters, captivating the masses and redirecting their attention to the latest distraction, bowls of pineapple and milk, as well as various intruder theories, overshadowing the fact that a millionaire's daughter was found in the basement of her family home, her body showing signs of chronic sexual abuse, and her back left with traces of stun gun marks, and discovered within her own father's office a videotape titled How to Create a Mind Slave Using a Stun Gun. But as the shadow of the Ramseys' numerous defamation lawsuits tower over those who dare question their involvement with their daughter's murder, I feel like I need to make something very clear. I'm not here to tell you who killed JonBenet. I'm here to tell you why they got away with it.
All of us who are parents fully expect that our children will live long after we are gone. And when it does not happen that way, there is a great void of grief and loss.
In order to understand why JonBenet's case was mishandled on numerous occasions, getting to know the Ramseys is essential. Let's begin with John Ramsey, a former Navy officer who moved to Atlanta, Georgia in the early 70s, starting a computer firm that merged with 2 other firms to form what is now known as Access Graphics. In 1991, the same year that the Ramseys moved to a 15-room Tudor-style brick home in Boulder, Colorado, while maintaining a summer home in Michigan, Access Graphics was acquired by Lockheed Martin, an American global aerospace, defense, security, and advanced technologies government contractor. And it should be noted that Lockheed Martin is no stranger to scandal, especially when it comes to bribery and blackmail. In addition to the 2 children he fathered with his wife Patsy, John had 3 children from a previous marriage. His 22-year-old daughter Elizabeth died in a car wreck in 1992. And 4 years later, the same year Access Graphics cleared over $1 billion, and John was named Entrepreneur of the Year by the Boulder Chamber of Commerce, his daughter JonBenet was murdered. John's wife Patsy was born in Gilbert, West Virginia. In 1980, Patsy married John, and together they had 2 children, their son Burke and their daughter JonBenet. In 1993, Patsy was diagnosed with ovarian cancer that would ultimately claim her life in 2006. It's been reported that Patsy's family were members of Masonic fellowships, and while this information cannot be verified given the nature of secret societies being, well, secret, the claim can be somewhat substantiated in the way that the Ramseys presented their home and their daughter, black and white Masonic checkerboards decorating both. Growing up, Patsy and her sister were beauty queens. Patsy won the title of Miss West Virginia in 1977, when she was just 20 years old, and she was frequently hired for ribbon cuttings by then-Governor Jay Rockefeller, along with former KKK member and Senator Robert Byrd. This connection is relevant given that just last year in the released Podesta emails, a curious email popped up from Tamara Luzzatto, who is chief of staff for both Jay Rockefeller and Hillary Clinton. In the email, Luzzatto listed out her grandchildren, their names, as well as their respective ages, reporting that they would arrive by Uber for the recipient's entertainment, listing details about heating the pool and a possible swim. While this in itself is hardly conclusive, the email paired with Tamara Luzzatto's website, Evie's Crib, is suspect, especially since the website's tagline advertises guests to spend time online with her grandchild, raw and uncut. Patsy's connection to former Senator Robert Byrd is of interest when taken into consideration with Kathy O'Brien's claims about the senator. Kathy alleged that she was a victim of the CIA's MKUltra project, a mind control program which the CIA admitted to, and she claimed that she was Robert Byrd's sex slave. The connections between the Ramsey family and the powerful network of individuals tied to the government and the military-industrial complex are noteworthy. Moving on, the Ramsey son, Burke, was 9 at the time of his sister's murder, and he's been the object of media scrutiny ever since. A popular theory being circulated in recent years, and it even aired on CBS, suggests that Burke was the one to murder his sister, and his family covered up for him, staging JonBenet's death to appear like a botched kidnapping. A year before his sister's death, it was reported by the ex-housekeeper that Burke had struck his sister with a golf club out of anger, leaving a scar on her cheek. This served as the basis for the theory that Burke murdered JonBenet by accident. But if you subscribe to this theory and believe that the Ramseys covered for their son, you've mentally established the Ramseys as liars. So why wouldn't you believe that they'd lie about their son smacking their daughter upside the head with a golf club as a means of explaining JonBenet's injury? Did her brother at 9 years old repeatedly sexually assault her too? If so, where did he learn that behavior? Additionally, the ex-housekeeper also alleged that Burke had a history of scatological problems. This narrative reemerged once again in 2016 during a CBS special, during which FBI Special Agent Jim Clement claimed that Burke had smeared feces on a box of candy that his sister got for Christmas, and that the crime scene technicians had discovered feces smeared across a bathroom wall in the Ramsey home. It should be noted that, in Burke's defense, fecal smearing, in addition to being a sign of a mental disorder like OCD or schizophrenia, is a physical indicator of abuse, specifically physical or sexual abuse, a behavior utilized by children as a means of showing distress when they're still too young to put their emotions into words. The Ramsey's daughter, JonBenet, was 6 years old at the time of her death, a kindergartner at High Peaks Elementary School in Boulder. She was crowned Little Miss Colorado in 1995. And held several other titles during her short life. But despite her parents' efforts to doll her up and make her appear like a blatantly sexualized tiny child adult, JonBenet was still a child. It was reported by the Ramsey's ex-housekeeper that JonBenet had started wearing pull-ups again in the months leading up to her death, and Patsy had covered JonBenet's mattress in plastic due to her frequent bedwetting. The ex-housekeeper described both JonBenet and Burke as frequent bedwetters. While many children go through a phase of bedwetting when they're young, regressive bedwetting can be a sign of sexual abuse. However, both of these children could have been exhibiting signs of anxiety relating to their mother's terminal cancer diagnosis. On December 20, 1996, Access Graphics held a celebratory luncheon in honor of reaching their $1 billion mark. 3 days later, on the 23rd, the Ramsey family hosted a Christmas party at their home with around 30 guests. At 6:47 p.m., an attendee dialed 911 and hung up. An officer responded to the call, leaving the Ramsey residence shortly after being assured there was no emergency. JonBenet attended a play date with her friend Megan, telling Megan's mother that Santa Claus was going to pay her a special visit after Christmas, and that it was a secret. On December 25th, a day many regard as Jesus Christ's birthday, but serves as a major pagan holiday celebrating the birthday of Mithras, the god of a Roman mystery religion, John checked on his private plane, returning a few hours later, then transported the family to their friend's Christmas party. Back at home, post-party, John put JonBenet to bed. This was the last time she was seen alive. On December 26th, at 2 a.m., a neighbor heard a scream that she characterized as piercing, and obviously from a child. lasting 3 to 5 seconds in duration. John and Patsy awoke early that morning in preparation for their family vacation to their Michigan home. John took a shower and got dressed while Patsy put on the same clothes from the day before, and she reapplied her makeup, proceeding to go downstairs to the kitchen. And at the bottom of the stairs, she discovered a handwritten note. It was a ransom note spanning 2.5 pages, indicating that JonBenet had been kidnapped, demanding $118,000 for her return, misspelling words like business only to turn around and properly spell the term attaché. The Ramseys checked JonBenet's room and confirmed she was missing, then proceeded to check on Burke, who they allegedly left sleeping, alone, in his room, despite the possibility of a kidnapper being at large in their massive 15-bedroom house. Patsy called 911, reporting her daughter's kidnapping, then immediately dialed their family friends, the Whites and the Fernies. Officer French was the first to arrive on the scene, reading the ransom note and conducting a quick search of the house, looking for a possible point of entry or even point of exit, which included a search of the basement. Officer French paused in front of the wine cellar door, secured only by a wooden latch, behind which was JonBenet's body. But the officer later claimed he was looking for entry points, and a wine cellar was an unlikely one. Thus, he skipped over it. Shortly after Officer French's arrival, the Whites and the Fernies appeared at the Ramsey residence, with Fleet White searching the basement, noting the broken window and suitcase underneath it. John later claimed he'd broken the window months prior. Fleet even searched the wine cellar but claimed it was too dark and he couldn't find a light switch. Another oddity was the victim's advocates who arrived early that morning. The advocates were a group of trained individuals who helped families through traumatic events. They brought the Ramseys bagels and coffee. Then at one point, they wiped the Ramseys' kitchen counters down with spray cleaner, contaminating the crime scene. All the while, Burke was allegedly asleep, awoken hours later to get dressed and go over to the White's house. After Burke left, John Ramsey searched the basement alone, then reemerged to assemble the ransom amount, $118,000. About 5 hours after the initial 911 call, JonBenet's room was sealed off by police, but the rest of the Ramsey residence was not. Representatives from the FBI swung by, but they left after a while, along with the remaining officers, leaving Detective Linda Ardent alone with the Ramseys and their friends. The detective instructed John Ramsey, along with his friends Fleet White and John Fernie, to do a top-to-bottom search of the house, which she later stated was to give John Ramsey something to do and keep his mind occupied. John Ramsey immediately went down to the basement with Fleet White and found JonBenet's body in the wine cellar, with duct tape over her mouth, a cord around her neck, her hands bound over her head, and her body covered in a blanket. John ripped the duct tape from her mouth and attempted to untie her hands, then carried her up the stairs, placing her on the floor, where she was then moved by the detective in front of the Christmas tree for unspecified reasons.
I ordered him to put JonBenet down. I knelt next to her and I leaned down to her face. And John leaned down opposite me. And his face was just inches from mine. And we had a nonverbal exchange that I will never forget. And as we looked at each other, I remember, and I wore a shoulder holster, tucking my gun right next to me and consciously counting, I've got 18 bullets.
Why did you do that?
Because I didn't know if we'd all be alive when people showed up.
20 minutes after JonBenet's body was found, John phoned his pilot, but the police instructed the family not to leave town. 8 hours after Patsy's original 911 call, the Ramsey house was secured as a crime scene. Later that night, under police surveillance at a friend's house, Patsy asked for Valium, sobbing, asking where John was. He had been at the airport, and when he returned, they both got Valium, waking periodically to ask for more pills. The results from JonBenet's autopsy revealed the cause of death be asphyxia by strangulation, accompanied by head trauma. Also noted was the chronic genital inflammation and foreign matter in the vagina, pointing at repeated and recent sexual abuse that was verified by a panel of experts. Additionally, JonBenet had a strange red heart scribbled on her palm at the time of death, and the marks on her back were attributed to a two-pronged stun gun. However, no stun gun was found at the residence, just a videotape in her father's office titled, How to Create a Mind Slave Using a Stun Gun. 10 years after her death, on August 27, 2006, MSNBC reported the fact that the stun gun marks were found on JonBenet's back and broadcast photos of these two-pronged marks. MSNBC quoted Taser Corporation's admission that these marks indicated use of its products. But that report was too little, too late, because years earlier, in 1999, a grand jury indicted Patsy and John Ramsey for child abuse resulting in death and being an accessory to a crime, including murder, in connection to their six-year-old daughter, JonBenet. But a prosecutor declined to sign it, citing a lack of evidence. Was the lack of evidence by chance or by design? Whoever murdered JonBenet got away with it for the following reasons. JonBenet's murder was the only homicide in Boulder, Colorado that year. The police department was woefully unprepared in investigating homicides. As they were building their case against the Ramseys, Boulder police expressed their frustration on numerous occasions at their investigation being stifled by the prosecutor, who was a little too chummy with the defense team. Whether the police department's lackluster procedure and mishandling of evidence was a result of incompetence or purposeful obstruction is a debate for another time. But the fact is, they didn't do a good job at investigating this little girl's murder, and the Ramseys didn't do anything to help them. They were unhelpful from day one. Instead of speaking to police in the days following JonBenet's death, the Ramseys went on television, creating the illusion of cooperation in the public eye. The media played a key role in the outcome of JonBenet's case, which makes sense because the Ramseys hired a PR firm in the wake of their daughter's death. The media treated the years following her murder like a pageant of sorts, where all the suspects pranced around on the world stage in an effort to win favor in the court of public opinion. The lack of journalistic integrity was evident. Theories were paraded like facts, and facts were discredited as theories. All the while, the most damning evidence was not mentioned until years later. Instead, the media latched on to hoaxers like the schoolteacher John Mark Carr, who was arrested in Thailand in connection to JonBenet's murder, whose charges were eventually dropped due to lack of evidence. A woman came forward in 2000, reporting that, as a child, she had been the victim of sexual abuse by distant relatives Fleet White Jr. and his father, but also John Ramsey. She further reported being prostituted for pornography. While police took her story seriously enough to interview her, her story was dubbed a fabrication to discredit the FBI. A lot of weird stuff happened over the last 21 years. In 2005, Natalie Holloway went missing, becoming a high-profile news story. And a year later, Patsy Ramsey died from cancer. And in 2007, John Ramsey began dating Natalie Holloway's mother. In 2015, former Boulder Police Department Police Chief Mark Beckner did a live Ask Me Anything question and answer on a popular website called Reddit, but then quickly deleted his responses after claiming he didn't realize it would warrant so much publicity. So it appears that either the Boulder Police Department still hasn't figured out how to properly handle themselves in regards to the Ramsey case, or they're just trying to tell us something. The individuals responsible for JonBenet's murder got away with it due to police incompetence, the Ramseys and their friends' contamination of the crime scene, as well as their numerous high-level connections, like that of Lockheed Martin, which was in the process of selling Access Graphics at the time, and it's speculated that Lockheed Martin played a role in delaying the trial. JonBenet is, unfortunately, one of many, but she was white. Her family was rich, and she looked like a doll. And still, her case was handled like her life never really mattered at all. Imagine the children who are murdered or disappear every year, and their tragedies are totally ignored by our media. We can't help JonBenet. She's dead. But we can potentially stop the cycle of abuse if we identify the established patterns and familiar players in cases like JonBenet's and even Madeline McCann's disappearance. We can stop the cycle of abuse if we set aside our trivial political agendas and understand that the agenda being pushed on us extends far beyond the political. It's an evil that's woven into the very fabric of our military-industrial complex and our nation's power structure, forming a network of abusers with a chain of command that reaches all the way to the very top. What do you think, Internet friends? Who killed JonBenet Ramsey? Let me know. I always look forward to your comments. Thank you so much for watching, subscribing, and supporting my channel on Patreon.
Whoa. Okay, what do you think?
Interesting. Interesting. Well, as it was going on, I always look at those stories as the big shiny object to keep you away from what's really going on. My mother loved that kind of stuff, by the way. She was a big fan of the Nancy Grace, and I was like, why do we have to have this? Why is this always on? That's what I remember at the time when this happened. So I looked up what was going on in the world. Do you remember what was going on in the world? She mentioned the Entertainment Tonight section was, the election of Clinton and Princess Di. And
the Spice Girls.
And stuff.
Tupac.
But do you know what was going on? Amazing stuff was going on, and they didn't want us to think about that. The biggest one, we'll just rattle them off. We had the crash of the TWA Flight 800 that was rumored to have been shot down by our own Navy.
That wasn't out of Pittsburgh, was it? Was that the one out of Pittsburgh?
I couldn't find out where it was at, to tell you the truth. It was shot down into the water.
Okay, keep going. I'll look it up.
Yeah, look it up for me, because I'm lost here, and Dr. Go won't let me go back. We had the discovery of the war crimes in Bosnia. Bosnia-Serbia war was just winding down, and all the mass graves and such were going on over there. We had a U.S. base was bombed in Saudi Arabia. 18 servicemen were killed in that, and no one was ever held accountable, but they split the difference of supporting safety in the area between the two countries, which I found was odd. And a lot of money was missing from the Pentagon as Clinton came into office, which would later be found out to be trillions and trillions, and they had to build – blow up the building so that we didn't find out how much money they stole. Burundi.
September.
Burundi, the massacre of the Hutus and the Tutsis, the millions of people that were massacred in Burundi. Rwanda. The Rwanda massacre was going on for the entire time that we were focused upon this murder in California. And nobody wanted to talk about that.
What was in California? I'm sorry. What was it?
The murder of the little girl in California that we just were listening to. JonBenet.
No, that was Colorado.
Oh, it was Colorado. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
it seemed like a California couple.
She pronounced Colorado. So maybe that was.
Oh, gotcha.
Colorado.
Yeah, but we didn't know about the Rwanda massacre until HBO made a movie about it, but that was going on in 96 while we were all focused upon the JonBenet Ramsey case. Interesting.
It wasn't 96, though. Hold on.
I thought it was 96. Okay.
Hold on. Maybe I'm wrong. Hold on. JonBenet.
She said the year was 1996, and Princess Day was getting divorced.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. It was 96.
But I liked it.
Because of the Spice Girls thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but the bombing in Saudi Arabia, interesting, too. They covered up the TWA. They said that there was an internet story at the time that the army said was completely ridiculous and baseless, that it was a friendly fire from a U.S. naval ship shot it down accidentally. And I was like, oh, my Lord. I don't remember that either.
Yeah, I don't remember that. And I think there were, transfers. So TWA originated out
Flight
of
800.
New York.
Oh, okay.
But I think I remember hearing stories about how there was a French club or something that left Pittsburgh because I was living there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't – Paris.
And they
said
in the story they found traces of – and that would be who was on that flight? Now that we know what goes on, who died in that flight? I'd like to know on that one. But during that time, we were focused upon JonBenet. The O.J. Simpson trial was nonstop on TV. And, of course, you know, yeah. Princess Di getting divorced. So nothing else was happening in the world, but big things were happening. But the most horrific was the massacre in Rwanda.
And I'm going to have to look that up. I was so young, I don't even remember. Okay, let's see. So 82, so 96, what, 14? I was still not thinking about anything, you know? So I barely remember the Rwanda massacre. Barely remember.
There was like hardly any coverage. It was kind of, that was the embarrassment that, you know, nobody wanted to talk about. And I don't think that was the serviceman that was dragged through the streets. Remember that? It was on Time Magazine. Mm-hmm. They sent a helicopter in, and I want to say that was Burundi, perhaps. And they
I don't
beat
think
him
it was
Rwanda.
That was
Burundi, right?
I don't think that was Rwanda. That mm-hmm. was, let's see, hold on. But I remember Clinton, because I was still under the neoliberal mm-hmm. spell, mm-hmm. you know, and listening to an interview after the fact, and it was Black Hawk Down, wherever that was filmed. And I remember watching this Bill Clinton interview and him saying, you know, getting the question, what was your biggest regret of your presidency? And it was soldiers mm-hmm. getting drugged through the street in mm-hmm. where? Where was that?
Well, here, let me see if we can do Black Hawk Down.
And here, what? Okay, hold on. Yeah, there we go. Black Hawk Down.
Okay. Bah, 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 bah. Oh, wait. Let's see. Mogadishu. Mogadishu?
What?
Mogadish.
Somalia.
Oh, was? Okay. And that was as far into Africa as we got. And he didn't, yes, Somali. Mm-hmm. And at the, what year was that? Let me see. Hold on.
93, I think.
Wait. Well, Clinton wasn't in office in 93.
He wasn't even in office. Let's see. Or was that his second term? No?
No. No. Mm. Is this a Mandela effect moment here? Let me see.
Could be. It could be. Hold on.
Hmm. So let's see.
Regret. Rwanda. But that's 94. You're ready. Okay, so Bill Clinton says we could have saved 300,000 lives in Rwanda. That was his biggest regret. Regret was not saving people in Rwanda.
And that would have, okay, as it should have been, because they did absolutely nothing. They just turned a blind eye to it, which was sad. They arrested the Unabomber, and then I believe something about the AIDS. It's the 96 people are still, let me go back to here. Advances against AIDS. Let me see. Did they just get, let me see. Researchers trumpeted the results but were cautious. No one knew yet how long the results would last. Blah, blah, blah. Let me see.
Yeah, that seems, I was wrong. You were right. I was a kid then, so honestly, like, I think I remember Monica Lewinsky's dress being blue,
yeah.
You know, and not black. You know what I mean? So I was such a kid then, I was under such this, like, neoliberal spell that
mm-hmm.
back then. That, so, but I always thought it was very classy of Bill Clinton to say that his biggest regret was not the Monica Lewinsky thing. You know, it wasn't that. It wasn't his marriage. It was this.
They're lying
Well,
you know, that was a good answer for him, because that was the worst thing he did, was turn a blind eye to that.
From what I'm reading now, I'm glad he owned up to it.
Yeah. It was horrible. That's a movie. That's a wonderful movie to watch. HBO made a great movie on that. And that is actually, you watch that movie, and then you can see how quickly society turns into another bad page in history book, because they had the world going on just as it is. You know, they were going to work. They had a nice society. You know, two brothers. One was a doctor. One worked in a radio station, was a DJ. And then all of a sudden, in comes the military with all these boxes. Boxes and boxes. Open them up. They weren't guns. They were machetes. And they just armed their rebels. And they all went in and just started killing people, because they were on the wrong side of politics. The wrong side. It was, you know, they rounded up all the, as they always do, all the political leaders, all the professors, anybody who was, you know, they had a list of people who were against this party, and went in, and it was just a huge massacre. And it was horrible, absolutely fucking horrible. And it is just like that, it happened. And, you know, captivating people's thirst for hating. And what we see going on now with, no matter what, they can't get off of this Trump thing, you know, this demonizing one man and all the people who follow him, and they've created this snowball monster of this mega, the extremists, you know. Every political ad was, we cannot tolerate this type of mega extremism in our state. And it's like, wow, my goodness, standing up for a baby's right to live, you're an evil extremist. But they're cooking this environment of you know, it's okay to loathe, despise, and hate these people because they're awful. And just add water or match to the gasoline, and you've got that type of intensity that happened in Rwanda. They're stoking the fires of discontent to justify that type of uprising.
Right.
And you see, the passion just in the school board meetings in the last year or two. That, I mean, it's just like the frustration and it leads to just eruptions of violence over what you're doing.
Yeah, or even
to
BLM,
my child,
like,
you know?
Even the protests, right?
Yeah.
Like,
you
think about how, like, I mean, I followed these protests very carefully a few years ago, and it really very interesting where there were like strategic pallets of bricks left with no construction zone around them. Just like the machetes going in.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it's like somebody is orchestrating behind the scenes and adding here's your tools of destruction and whipping people up into a fervor to act out their, you know, when you let little kids grow up, you know, killing things on TV with these video games and you know, getting, or even when they're out doing the paint gun things, it's like you stoke in the flames of doing something aggressively that's fun, and they got to take it to the next step. And instead of teaching people to be nice, you know, share your toys. You know, don't talk to people. You can't pull people's hair. Don't throw things. We're going the opposite direction. And then, you know, you get somebody else who's like, okay, we've created this environment. We can do whatever we want because they don't have a governor, a conscience governor, because there's no you know, boundaries to use. Everyone has a conscience, you know, we're born with conscience. And the more that you bruise it or that you groom it, that inner voice in somebody will stop them and they'll hesitate before they do something they know they shouldn't. And even when you get mad, you're like,
yeah.
Oh, you know, but when you take that away, then you've got, you know, what they call the useful idiots. And they can, your social conditioning,
conditioning.
Oh.
Indoctrination.
But yeah, there's a term that they use that's nice. It's that justifies that social justice warrior, kind of, for lack of better words.
So there's a
different term. But then you justify and give them, a badge of honor in acting this way, because now they're justified in their actions. And that, you know, leads to, you know, you've got your good Nazis doing the bidding of whoever's pulling the strings and running the propaganda program. Because that didn't, I'm trying to remember exactly what it was that divided the Hutus and Tutsis, other than the fact that it was like a clan thing. It was kind of like, if you weren't from Iowa, you know, it's like the Bears and the Packers, but with a lot of, and the Hatfields and McCoys and that type of thing, a clan.
Oh, okay.
War down there.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Like factions. I'll probably yell it out in my sleep tonight. But I know what you're talking about.
It was almost like a caste system, but based upon where you were born.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it had a lot to do with religion. Although some people said that the Tutsi, I think, has a very old lineage that goes back to Egypt, and it was almost a targeted genocide upon them the last remnants of the Egyptians mystery schools type of religion, I've heard.
Interesting.
Which I found really, really fascinating.
And that was what was going on in Rwanda?
Burundi.
Oh, okay.
The Hutus and the Tutsis. Was it Burundi? Might have been.
I'm looking it up.
I'm stuck on my tablet is defying me. I can't get off the page. I think Rwanda and Burundi, two different things. I mean, different instances. Hutu, Tutsi. Here we go. Conflict.
There it is. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Let me see the blood
that
history of the Hutu and the Tutsi. Was it Rwanda? Oh wait,
mm-hmm.
No. It was between Rwanda and the Tutsi army in Burundi.
Oh my God.
So this is. It was Burundi and Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
Between the two. In 100 days, 800,000 people were killed. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
What was the conflict? in Uganda. And now, look, Uganda is the poorest country in the world. That in Ghana. Did you see that report that Tucker did? So this was in Uganda. The Rwanda Patriotic Front began attacks against the Hutu-led government. Let me see. Doesn't say.
Oh, my God. This is a genocide they were.
It was. It was, and Clinton was in office, and people were begging him and he would no.
To do, yeah, just, to do
for
something.
Whatever his, he wouldn't even. It wasn't even mentioned on the TV. It was on the scroll underneath the gym.
Wow. Okay. This is crazy. Like, especially like being on air as this is.
But now you see, you know, because it's like, yes, that was an amazing story, but why wasn't it such an amazing story? Because it was a cover for what was going on in the world, and this was what was going on at the very same time. And I'm quite sure that if we were a little bit more
sad,
had more access to world events, right now as we speak, there are some unbelievable things going on that we will not know about maybe ever, and be like, oh my God, why didn't we know about this? Because we were focused upon the damn elections nonstop, or you know, a COVID vaccine, and something unbelievable is going on in right now in Africa. I was reading an article about how we've got just an amazing amount of bases popping up everywhere in Africa, and we're almost doing like the second colonization of England right now, in order to subvert their governments, in order to get their resources against their will, you know, and that's and the leaders there are telling their people, we need to have a better backbone and a better self-resilience and confidence in ourselves as sovereigns to not allow this. And I don't know whether or not they are equipped. Like, who's equipped to go against the U.S. Army, you know, when they come to town? Nobody. But that's going on everywhere. We went south of the Middle East. You know, we've gotten our feet in the sand, and we're not leaving Syria and Iran. And oh my God! And did you see what's going on in Iran, by the way, right now? I just saw a TikTok of a poor, you know, woman saying, you know, and here's our. I love that our children haven't called it what's going on, but they can't see that the very same thing is happening here. It can happen in a snap of a finger. They're arresting the protesters. And now, you know, they have too many of them. Well, if you're caught protesting, it's immediate execution so that we have more room.
Oh,
for
crap.
We don't have enough room. But we also want to stop because we're, you know, mom is mad. There's no more temper tantrum, guys. We're done. You oppose us, we will kill you. And that's what's happening. There's like, it's good. Another genocide is happening right as we speak.
Right.
And that's definitely
which is why protest really isn't the way that we're going to win either.
No, it is not. It is going to be collective, silent, sit-in protest. Civil disobedience.
Well,
in the 60s, we sit there, and we do not – there will be no more voting. We saw what you did this time. You did it in 20. You did it again the same way. You couldn't even change your tactics. We are no longer participating. Let's see how you're going to cheat when nobody votes. And we just sit there and stare you down.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, why would they?
Sorry. Game's over. And you're going to have to, you know, pick us all up by our arms and drag us off to the paddy wagons because we're not going to walk for you. And, that's how it goes. And we're going to stand up on the bus and sit in the front of the bus and sit at the counter and walk into the store without the mask and go to work without the vaccine and go to work every day because this is where I work. I'm so sorry. Can't fire me for this. And just, it's just, we refuse to play the game. Game's over without the violence. And that's the hardest for them to combat is that.
Well, you touched on it earlier when you were talking about how, you know, people just want free shit, right? Well, I think free shit comes, I mean, there's no such thing as free shit. We know that. But, you know, turning our backs on the system. What's that?
Well, I was just, you know, there is no such thing as a free lunch. And it not to sound crass, but that just seems to be what they want. They're giving everybody everything handed to them. Here you go. It's like I am the most well-kept slave in Illinois. They give me everything. And I think they even give me free cable right now because we're under the EO, the executive order of it's seriously, because it's like, well, they can't cut it off. You can't get thrown out anymore. And, you know, we're under emergency powers, blah, blah, blah. And they'll give us more checks. And, you know, they took away, you know, you don't have to pay for bail. The way that they're making everything sound, it sounds so good. It's all everything. We're making your life so much better. We're giving you so much. That's what I mean by the free shit. That's the bribe, the gift of the abuser. And that's what Holly meant it to be. Because it's what it seems like to me. Not so much, you know, we should have basic human rights should include, you know, being able to live someplace without worry. That should be a basic human right. We shouldn't have to scramble to have to worry about living in whatever little place we're in, heating and feeding ourselves. That should be basic. And then if
basic
we could move past
correct.
That, basic necessities, yes. But with the ability to flourish in whatever direction you might want to go. Not have to just stay in your little box and wear gray clothes and say that everything's safe and effective and repeat the narrative. But there's no balance.
Right. Nope,
and therefore, we'll never, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, exactly. And that's why I'm saying, like, honestly, the only way that we're going to win this is if we withdraw consent from the system. And you know, when you're saying that you're, you know, a well-kept slave, you totally are. I'm certainly not trying to judge anybody for being that. As long as they continue to expand their understanding of what's going on. The fact that elections aren't going to save us. The fact that elections are an illusion meant to keep us under their control. You know, that's really the point, and I know you know this too, is that there's no voting our way out of this. So
no.
With the last, you know, 60 seconds of the show, we
have
our 90 minutes, you know, that's, I believe, our mission here on this show. What do you think?
Well, I would hope that the only reason I do this is that I would hope to be able to spark somebody's mind to think into a different direction, to open themselves up to another possibility. My little nephew, when I go on my tangents about the politics, he goes, Lila, don't worry, we have a nice president now. I said, Joe Biden, he loves the trees. Donald Trump wanted to cut all our trees down. I was going on and on about the forced vaccines and, you know, the politics here. People in Illinois think, oh, my God, why are you so upset? It's so nice here. Well, yeah, I guess it is because we don't have food shortages. We're well provided because our governor plays the game. Our governor's got the New World Order. Dick is in his mouth
all right.
Times. Therefore, we're all well taken care of. Nothing to fear
so
here.
So perhaps,
but,
with our last few seconds, seeds of change will help our younger generation face the inevitable. So I love you all. If you can, please share this video. Thank you, Elizabeth, for being here. Love you
love
all.
You too, babe.
And we will talk to you next week. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.